June 22nd, 2009.
Columbia and Snake, or to the Upper Columbia Project. I don't know if they still do it or not.
Because I just want to get some on the calendar where I can get out there.
Usually it was in the fall, September-ish.
I do have
so you might ask around and see if they're still doing it.
Dan, I guess get out there and meet everybody on the calendar.
That'd be interesting to see.
Appreciate
that. Yeah. Well, see, that's, yeah.
Doctors, lawyers.
What's this like, man?
We're actually in the summertime period now.
Hi. Have one coming? How you doing?
Good, how are you today?
Good. Good to see you again.
That's right.
Getting settled in?
I think so, yeah. It's kind of neat. Kind of seeing the patterns.
Good.
So, haven't got it all figured out, but at least to better understand the routine.
Yeah, good.
A lot of meetings. So.
Yeah, I mean,
you're good at them.
Yeah.
A lot of meetings.
That's all I do if you have the
way in.
Yeah.
A lot of meetings, so.
I go to all of them. And I don't even have to come to this one, but it seems so integral to everything else.
You're such a balancing act. Chocolate brownies and carrots.
Just in case. Since Vern was so adamant.
The whole grain goodness of Graham right there.
Exactly. Honey.
So you come out in the morning, or what do you guys...
Well, this time, since it's a Monday, we didn't want to burn Sunday.
I come in the morning.
Yeah. What time does that get you here?
Here about 9:35.
So has Michelle been doing what you made her do? She didn't start with
250, 230.
I don't know.
Yes, because I loaned her some spay casting videos, instructional videos.
Do you like to drive? You probably see, enough of them to...
We'll hear about it tomorrow. Maybe she hasn't gotten going with it yet.
Where do you stay? Do you stay in town?
Usually we come down to cloud for it.
Yeah.
But so we started looking for night here in town. So
Friday there was. No, I don't think so, but I was in Vancouver, and tried to come back to bed, about 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I wasn't that late, but I went over a bridge over in Vancouver, and the train was backed up, dead stop, both directions spotted, and then I started to go west, trying to get on I-5, and I get
coming on board.
It just came down crazy.
Yeah.
And all that backing up on freeway.
It's a little bit.
Right as the rain. I can go use these.
Yeah, right.
I'm going in, but I can't even test to see if they leak.
What did you use for the barrel?
So just joined on the phone?
This is Derek Firewall.
Derek?
Secured the fittings and
whatnot. So I ended up filling with Derek water.
So we have Derek and Ben on the phone. Anyone else?
They end up filling one
phone. All right.
Just drink my soup.
And great.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got the 2008 miscellaneous data up here.
I'm going to take
quick.
Okay.
Thank you.
Brownies, carrots.
Well, but I mean, as far as after I talked to him, it
didn't seem to say much time. I discussed about 3 months ago. I remember I said, oh, shoot, I didn't send it good until just
off my diet.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tammy's getting us started this morning with some brownies. So.
Tammy's?
Yeah. Tammy's coming through again.
I have a birthday candle in case anyone has a birthday coming up.
Yeah, sometime we'll do.
No knowledge of any birthday. Not this one.
That's right. So, we have another meeting on Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, meeting with... So Burns not in today, and so we'll.
You're in charge.
Yeah, we'll take off and start working through it. The goal is definitely to be wrapped up before one. So, as brownies are working their way around the moon, we definitely have our priorities right. The brownies first, sign up sheets coming second, and. Once we get the sign-up sheet working, any updates to the agenda, or any edits to the April minutes or May minutes? Okay. Well, we have an agenda, and we have May minutes, and we will move on to. Action items. Unless there's.
Can I add one? We have time to add one to the agenda.
Yeah.
On the agenda. It's just an update on Bonneville emergency spillway repairs.
You're number 5.4 under updates. Or 3.4. 3.4. The updated agenda.
Oh,
right here.
Oh, hey. Download this one.
It's just, there's a one pager.
As soon as I said it was final, everybody came up with their changes. So.
I added something too.
Can
you get that in, Tammy?
Yours is.
Updated agendas are going around for.
Sign up sheet.
Yeah, sign up sheet is coming. And just for the benefit of the folks on the phone, let's just go around the room. Quick introductions, and then we'll get to the folks on the phone. Tim Dykstra, Corps of Engineers.
David Wells, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Ed Meyer, National Fisheries Service.
Randy Lee, Hydraulic Engineer, Portland.
Chocolate mouth. Chocolate mouth.
Robert Stancil, Fishfield. Rick Martinson, Snow Monitoring. Gary Fredrickson, Fisheries.
Dave Clarkson, Corps of Engineers.
Dan Stevenson, WDFW.
Bob Gordy, Corps of Engineers.
Greg Moody, Corps of Engineers, Walla Walla.
Mira Zendo, the Dallas John Day.
The Baus Corps of Engineers, RCC.
Rick Krueger, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Dave Bender, Fish Passage Center.
Scott Benton, BPA.
Tammy Mackey, Corps of Engineers.
Bill Hevlin just walked in the room. Folks on the phone?
Steve Richards, Fish and Wildlife. Washington, Fish and Wildlife.
Thank you.
Derek Fryer, Corps of Engineers.
Ben Hausman, Corps of Engineers.
Is that everyone on the phone? Derek, just to let you know, I believe it'll be a good 40 minutes or so before we get to agenda item 6, which is McNary Fishway entrance operation. If you're more than welcome to stick with us on the phone, but if you want to call back in 45 minutes, you can do that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay. So we have a final agenda and approved minutes from May. We'll move into action items. I guess I'm up first with the McNary Avian Array. And
where are those agendas?
They are.
Ran out of them.
Oh. Okay, so McNary Avian Array. Quick update is there. You know, we have the opportunity for CRFM dollars in 2010. And talking to Evie, if you recall, back up on this. This just came up, sort of a spur of the moment item that I believe Laura's brought up at our last meeting. Just say, hey, what's going on with McNary Avian Arrays? And I said, I don't know. So I talked to Brad, and his response to me was, yeah, I mean, we could conceivably put more in. We do have some issues as far as just anchor points. Really, if we want, probably the most reasonable place for an anchor would be the new outfall, which would give us more opportunities for an anchor point. But right now, according to EB's perspective on it, was we've maxed out our avian arrays on the powerhouse side and have limited opportunities just based on anchor points anyplace else. And I said, well, okay, let's take out the anchor point discussion for a minute. Just from your perspective day-to-day at the project, is there an avian predation problem that you believe we need, a problem that we need to solve that currently isn't solved? His answer was, honestly, I don't really see the issue based on what he's seeing. Now, there might be differences of opinion on that. I don't know. But I guess my recommendation right now is that it's something we can take a closer look at once we get a new outfall relocated, which is, I believe that's scheduled to occur in 2011.
I believe so.
And so there's ERDC trips. Well, one was scheduled, and then because the ERDC model is having some issues right now.
The latest preparing is the end of July.
Yeah, the end of July.
Okay. So that seems to be, if there's going to be an opportunity that could give us some more anchor points, it would be after the outfall is relocated. But I don't see this as an emergency item that we need to spring on now. It's just
the key here is whether there's a problem.
Right.
And I'm not aware of anything being real pressing at McNary. There's some pelicans that come up, and the wires will not change that.
Right.
They fly close to the water. As far as gulls and terns go, we don't have a huge number there. So I haven't seen a problem.
Okay. Well, we'll. As far as on the action item list, then, I think we can just capture that there may be an opportunity to reassess once we have outfall relocated, which could give us additional opportunities. But right now, we're not jumping to do anything before that. So.
USDA is hazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
And so this was brought up by Lourdes?
I believe.
Just an offhand question?
It was a question that just said, hey, what's going on with McNary bird wires? And I hadn't heard there was a problem, so I had no response at the last meeting.
Did he, I don't recall him saying anything about observations, and we don't believe there's a problem either. So.
I think maybe in light of the other bird arrays that have had some issues, obviously at McNary there's not as many wires as there were at John Day.
No.
But I think part of the reason why there's just not the level of predation, avian predation, at McNary. So, okay. Number two, LOMO, Unit 1, Kaplan status. I think, Gary, this is one that you asked about the last meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it's we need to make sure that unit returns back to Kaplan status at some point. So.
Yeah. So,
stay low.
Yeah.
And this brings up another issue, too, that we need to talk about down the road. I had a call from Martin Ahman last week, or whenever it was before I left from Mississippi, regarding his advice was to set every unit up and down the river at a 29-degree blade angle and leave them there. And that, I'm not ready to go there, but he has thrown that out. I said, take a throw in him. And it's for the same thing as what we've got to make at Lil Mo. You know, that's a welded blade unit at 29-degree blade angle. I think that one needs to be kept because you need to be able to adjust it. But there's other issues associated with just taking all these units at one blade angle, too. So it may be coming out of your shop, I guess, as a proposal.
Yeah, it's not coming.
Has he talked to you at all about that?
We've talked about a number of things, but I don't recall hearing the setting them all at 29 degree up and down the river. I would need to talk to him more about it, but right now I don't see why that would be a path that we would be taking.
Yeah, and I'm not aware that we've got any real studies on that, and maybe some model studies that would point to that as being a better fish, setting, but I don't know. It was thrown out there in the Cap and Blaze study as a place to weld these units that have to be welded. Okay, fine. You know, if you got to do something to keep them running, weld them at 29. But to run all the others at 29 because it's better, that's a big step.
Yeah.
Beyond.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Gary. I'm unaware of any momentum behind fixing blades. In fact, the update on Lomo Unit 1 is that there's a number of things that have to happen, you know, as far as some crane issues, unstacking the unit, all of those things. Right now the schedule is return to fully adjustable Kaplan blades for Lomo Unit 1 in 2012.
Okay.
That's the current schedule. But I hesitate to say that that's, maybe I want to write it in pencil, because there's a series of things as far as a crane that needs to do some lifting. That has had some issues unstacking the units, but that's the schedule right
My
now.
My concern was the permanence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not permanent.
It's not permanent.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
Yep.
The second question to me would be then, do we go with a in-kind repair, or should we move towards the best design that we have, fish friendly design, which could be different? We follow Ice Harbor's rehab. In other words, instead of just fixing the problem, linkages, you go ahead and completely rebuild the unit to a fish friendly unit. In other words, that would be a rehab. Following the BIOPS advice, if you're going to rehab, you go down to fish friendly, the best design that we know, and that would follow the Ice Harbor thing. So that might put it out beyond Ice Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Scott.
Well, it's a couple of things.
You're moving, but you're not saying anything.
When you're saying Kaplan, these are always going to be Kaplan units. It's going to be whether or not they're adjustable Kaplan units. So, yeah.
No. Kaplan's adjustable. Yeah. Well, there's no such thing as a non-adjustable Kaplan.
Fixed propeller unit.
So you change its term to a Kaplan to a fixed Kaplan?
That's okay. Kaplan means a mechanism.
Kaplan means adjustable.
Right.
Okay. So, that being said, we are hoping to get that one done by 2011 or 12 in kind, because Ice Harbor won't be done. And then if we have to go back and redo it down the road.
I think we should talk about that, because that may be a better way to go rather than spending a lot of money on the in-kind repair.
You know, part of it being driven because they want to have it, you know, fully functional so you can go to the lower minimum.
I understand, but there's also the idea that if we're going to rehab a unit, which is what this would be, that we go with better designs. I know that means a lot more work and money. But
well, a lot more years down the road, too.
It does, but that's, you know, I'm not opposed to that if it gets us to a better place sooner at low level. So. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right. 2.3, John Day, Avian Array. Corey?
Yeah, there's really not much to update on that, besides what most of you already know. Sean Packley is now going to be the bio on that in place of Wertheimer, because Wertheimer's been in Afghanistan for 6 months. and they're going to totally redesign everything. Some of the latest news on that is yesterday, that lower wire broke.
Which one?
The three. The most downstream wire.
Oh. Just one or all three of them?
The one which had the most tension on it.
Yeah, the one that was low elevation, and they had that tensioned up. And I just saw an email, the project is going to remove another one that is pulling out of the wall.
It just says once they found out three of those lower wires, there's one wire hanging out there at however many hundreds of feet it is from the others, and they're doing good.
When you say, three lower
wires. There's three lower wires, and then there's the, okay. That's what you're talking about. There's one of those that's down, another one's going to go, there's one left.
Take it out before it goes.
I think she said, in the email, she said line number 5. I don't know which one. I think it's one that's on the powerhouse, because there was a couple on the powerhouse that were pulling the high bolts out.
Those three are on the powerhouse. That's a different line. Then. That's further up.
Yeah.
In the array.
Do you know, Mira, what line number 5, would that be on the powerhouse?
Not on the other side of the spillway.
It's in the array that's fairly intact.
But it's a good learning experience this year. Yeah. This experimental grid that we built. And we'll make a correction for the next year.
Is there going to be a write up of sort of lessons learned to make sure that we can in Walla Walla?
The fisher skill unit is still conducting observations. The fisher skill unit is still, as you know, conducting observations of how the birds are reacting to different elements of the current grid. And we'll have a final report.
Yeah, and the goal now is to get some early meetings while it's fresh in everybody's mind.
Are you proposing for the week on Thursday we're going to talk about this, or what's
I was thinking just with the project. The project has an awful lot of concerns about how things went down, so we need to make sure that we get together early, especially with Sean. He's coming on board, so he knows.
So how is the bird situation this week?
It's backed off quite a bit.
Stayed there.
Yeah, it's not bad now. We'll probably get another hit of birds here.
Well, we haven't. I don't know what the migration looks like right now, but it's probably on its way up.
Yeah.
So
it's going back.
Between surveys is about
they're all.
Too fat to fly. They're all in a weight reduction program.
Yeah.
Once that goes, then they'll be back up.
Yeah,
they'll
be there. And FFU is doing their study. They got 30 lethals now.
Big deal for me. Everybody else.
Which type is it?
Mostly in California.
There might be some other.
The gold behavior, by the way, is very dynamic. You saw when you were coming during that transition period, the golds were most likely reacting to juvenile lampreys, and they don't have the same pattern anymore. They concentrate again now with the summer Chinook. They more concentrated towards the Washington shore, downstream of the spill. They don't spread towards the Oregon shore as much.
Did you know that about the lamprey from gut content?
Everything moved from spillway, and all of a sudden they were all over the powerhouse. Yeah, really? I've never seen that before.
Did they get some of these samples in during that early period? Has that been most of the avian so far? Just trying to see if you're going to get a shift.
They got to look at it.
It's been spread out.
So 30 lethal, and you're doing gut samples on all of those. That's okay.
Yeah, up until that point, there weren't any lamprey in the sample, and after that, there were other numbers. So that supports the theory.
So your permit's for 130. That's the limit.
130, I think, of all species.
Oh, okay.
And we're only getting that back.
Yeah,
I thought it was 130 of each.
I think it was honestly Ringville and California.
Combined.
That's combined?
Yes. I thought so.
Yeah.
I checked it because they said it was.
No, I thought it was each.
It was each.
Oh, really?
It's 130 each.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
It doesn't matter. It's whatever you guys
if it's combined, you only get one type. It's the difference.
Right, it was each.
Okay.
But Dave's point is that if you're only getting one.
Right.
Well, carry this over to next month for a continued action item.
Sure.
Okay.
Just another thing on that. I had a discussion with Walla Walla District this morning about setting up another avian predator management meeting. We had one 2 weeks ago and kind of went, but it was just the federal parties. So this second meeting is tentatively, and Scott hasn't got anything out of this yet, but it's tentatively set up for the 21st of July. And that's, there's a Walla Walla Fitterway meeting the next day, so this will be the morning, set up in the morning of the day before the Walla Walla Fitterway meeting is scheduled to occur. And we're going to send that a notice out to everybody, and including the Wildlife Services, APHIS folks, Fish and Wildlife Service, avian folks, and tribes. You might need some help on that. It'll be a broad, so this is just kind of a pre-announcement. Scott Denmeyer will get out probably a doodle pool on this sometime in the next couple of days.
How's he going to do it? Is this going to repeat a lot of the same stuff? Or
My view of the agenda would be to pose some questions, the biggest problems we have and what to do about them. And, you know, John Day, the Miller Rock Skull Colony will be one item, the Crescent Island Term Colony will be the second item, the Foundation Island Thermal Colony will be a third item, and the fourth item is what else?
Fourth item is what?
What else?
Okay.
What else do people see? And that's basically the agenda in a nutshell. But
so it's less presentations and more.
This is just discussion of of what we need to be doing to manage.
Good.
And then I have some sub questions I'll probably stick in there too.
Are you going to have any music concern?
I think it's open to anybody, but it's a management discussion, really. And the folks that were at the workshop 2 weeks ago should have all those. The avian predation website is a pretty good source of information, too, from real-time research and Dan Roby, OSU. So.
But from that workshop, it sounds like PD could teach us a few lessons.
Absolutely.
Do what?
Absolutely.
What was the statement?
PD could teach us a few lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, some very inexpensive but very extensive arrays at Wanacum Dam, I think, really kind of poster child feel how to do it right.
The thing I found interesting after that, on the day of that workshop, since I wasn't allowed to, or that management discussion, since I wasn't allowed to attend, I went
some
up.
Some people were sore about that.
What's that?
Nothing.
I went up and saw I went up to Wanacum Dam. I went up to Chief Joseph and Grant Cooley because I'd never seen them too. But,
you got lost.
No, I didn't get lost.
Yeah, that's a long drive.
It's a long drive. I got home late that way. But I was surprised.
That is a long drive.
Yeah, one day. But hey, it was fun. I had lunch at that funky hamburger place in Grand Coulee. But the thing I found interesting was that the Wanapum wires looked like they were like 50 feet apart. And I was surprised.
Wider than you expected?
Yeah, they're a lot wider than I expected.
Were they angled in to one anchor point?
I couldn't see the other end. I couldn't see the other end very well, but it didn't look like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would use the same tower with heavy wire strung between it as the anchoring system.
If you remember what Bear said at the meeting, that they, if they did not actively haze, the gulf would defeat that fairly quickly. So,
and that makes sense, given the wires being so far apart. But.
And if they did not apply legal,
that's only the first step.
Right. That was an important point on his discussion, was that it wasn't the cure. You had to do the hazing and the lethal as well. But anyway.
Yeah. So those are the other kind of sub questions that I'm going to have in there. Is do we need lethal control? Do we need BRZ hazing? Those are sort of questions.
Yes.
Every one of them is more expensive than the other.
Yeah.
Okay, so July 21, plan on a full regional discussion on avian predation management.
We'll get the announcement out, and everything will change. That's tentative.
Okay.
Everybody tentative until I was talking about original.
Okay. Well, moving on. 2.4, Bonneville chain gates. Ben, are you on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Can you take this one?
I can. I've not tested this with Sean. We kind of did an impromptu test. Sean was gone last week, I believe. We did a little bit of an impromptu test last week as well as or accompanied with cleaning out of the sluiceway. It was pretty loaded with large woody debris, at least at the north end. So everything was closed up. They cleared that out completely, and then we reopened it. I had spoken to Gary about trying this. Currently, the ones that are open are the two that will that are automated in theory, but that are yet to be able to be controlled in auto, which is 3B and 6C. 10 was kind of backing stuff up because we're having to have these wide open without having the automated control. So we closed 10, open 9A, and 1B is not able to be closed anymore, so what we're left with is 1B, 3B, 6C, and 9A at decreasing elevations as you go north. That will make sense to some of you, and maybe. But basically what we're end up with now is pretty good velocity from about halfway across, heading south, and then of course at the north end with the wall being that thin, it's just we're going to be stuck, I think, until we pull the wall out to get good velocities at that end.
So, Ben, what's your gate elevation on 9A?
9A is sitting at 72.
Ah, okay. You rose it a half a foot.
We brought it up a little bit. We're kind of stuck in a way because we've got the teletype for tribal gillnet fishery,
uh-huh.
And it's locking our forebay pretty high.
75?
Yeah, that's what it was last week anyway. I haven't looked today.
Okay.
So we're kind of trying to pick what we can, what's going to give us, decent conditions without having the automated gates and having the forebay that we've got. It looks pretty good right now. I still have a inquiry in with Don Erickson to talk about potentially modifying that contract to deal with being able to have 1A open like we'd like to do.
Yeah, I'll talk with them on Thursday.
Okay.
Peterwick. I'll raise that issue as well, Ben.
It looks, from when you were last out here, Gary, it looks pretty good.
Good.
Considering what we have.
Yeah,
we're still waiting on the automation, and that obviously will make a huge difference. But
right.
In the meantime, it's not bad. The velocity, Casey checked it this weekend, so about, being north of 3B, so between 3 and 6, we've got about 4 feet per second, but then it drops off to about 1 foot per second when you get up near 9A.
Right. Yeah, I would expect that.
So it's totally clear debris, which is nice, and it's going probably about as good as we can.
Yeah, you shouldn't have a whole lot more debris to deal with.
No. This looks pretty good, actually.
Okay. Well, yeah, just the background. I asked Ben to, when we were out there, I said rather than coming in kind of with the problem that we have, to just try some things with the channel and see what works. And so,
So why is the one
project?
Why is the one gate not able to be closed anymore?
That's 1B, and that's is that a debris issue or what's going on there?
We think it is a debris issue because what we wanted to do was raise that up a little bit.
Right.
And instead, what we have is it's wide open. The gate itself is completely pulled out, so it's down to the sill level, which is 68.
Right.
So we have quite a bit of water coming in there, obviously, with a 75-foot forebay.
That's probably not a bad thing.
What we had hoped to do was put that gate back in and just lower it down to something closer to 70, maybe.
Right.
But they're having an issue with it going down, so we're assuming it's probably a debris problem.
Well, you couldn't get it on sill or all the way down anyway before, could you?
Right, exactly. Yeah. We were left with having it barely open or doing what we've done, which is pull it out and have it wide open.
So we're kind of stuck with waiting until winter maintenance.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we've got an ROV coming our way here soon that we're purchasing, so maybe we'll have a chance to have a look at it.
Now the water will clear up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds like a good plan for now.
And when Sean can get out here and do a little bit more professional evaluation will do that as well.
Okay. Yeah, I was a little concerned about going down to 7 after thinking about it. I don't want to have too much of a slack water area upstream of the first open gate.
Sure.
So having 9A open, that's not bad. You still got, what, maybe five slots above there that are slack.
Right.
But that's not as bad as having the whole north end of the power, south end, or north end of the powerhouse. So, okay.
All right.
We're just at the moment. We're just waiting on one more electrical component, I believe, to be able to have the gates be automated, and then our life will get better, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. What your 9A will never. It's not automated anyway, so you're just going to set that.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Until the wall comes out, that won't change. But at least we'll be able to have 6C and 3B adjusting with 4B.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Great. Thanks, Ben.
Sure.
Move on to 2.5. I believe, Ben, you're still on cue for this one. Bonneville JMF adult mortalities.
Yeah, so what we had last time when we had that incident at Powerhouse 2 where we basically lost the powerhouse having to do with the North Bonneville switchyard that is beyond my comprehension. But basically it was gone, which triggered the fishway to respond, and it did appropriately. Went to bypass, flushing water kicked on for the 2-mile pipe, but what happened was after 60 minutes it times out, the flushing water stopped, the powerhouse was still out, so what we ended up having was probably some adults that held in that channel, and then when we watered back up, they flushed down to the small facility, and we had adult morts. We've looked into it, and we had to kind of figure out what was being controlled by what with the PLC, whether it was tied to the ERG or individual components, and it seems like it's going to be a pretty easy fix. Basically, we can just remove that timer, so when the elevation hits a certain mark, a low elevation in the DSM channel, that flushing water will kick on, and it will not won't shut off until the elevation raises again. So we'll just remove the timer altogether. I'm not really sure why it was put in there initially, but it seems like it's going to be a pretty straightforward fix, much simpler than we had thought it might be.
And when is that scheduled to occur?
That's going to happen any time now. There's a TR, a trouble report submitted for it, so it should be this week, I would hope.
Good.
Otherwise, it's going to be Tammy with the garden hose out there.
We can do that, too.
I believe Project Fisheries is responsible for that.
Hey, Ben?
Yes.
This is Ed Meyer.
Yes.
As you're working with that, you know, something that to consider might be it. It's one thing to have that water come on and just stay on all the time, but I'm wondering if we couldn't pulse it in some way to encourage anything in that pipe to move out. But maybe it's kind of a moot point. If we were going to lose it after an hour, if we were stuck with that constraint, that I would, you know, kick it on for 30 minutes, then drop it for a couple minutes, then bring it back on, you know, trying to set a bunch of pulses down that to encourage it, because that's when the adults will start moving or anything in there. Once the water starts drying up, then they're a little bit more encouragement to leave. But
sure.
But as long as we can keep it on, I guess that's fine too.
Yeah, I think I have no idea at how difficult that would be to do a pulse in the system, but I know removing the timer altogether is fairly straightforward. The electrician that deals with our PLC said it's just set in there, and basically the thing kicks on at 63.3 feet when that elevation gets that low, and then the timer kicks on when it hits 60. And, of course, that happened when we fully dried up the channel last time.
Okay.
But instead of it running for 60 minutes and shutting off, we'll just have it stay on, and it doesn't shut off then until the elevation gets back to an acceptable level, and that seems
easy. I wouldn't try to PLC something in there, you know, but you might have it set up so that you can shut it off yourself.
And yeah, and we can. Manually. We can definitely manually override it. We just thought instead of relying on somebody to remember to do that or put it into some sort of protocol for that, just have it do it automated.
Yeah.
Is this something we should change to the fish pass plan, that if something of greater than a 1-hour duration occurs, to start pulsing it manually? Do you want to...
It's not in the middle of the night. I mean, I wouldn't expect to have people go out there, but yeah, if it's...
But it sounds like you want them to be out of there if you think it's going to continue for an extended period of time.
That's the idea.
And so write some criteria for when that starts, when it becomes a longer problem than just a half hour or 40 minutes. then you start thinking of your next solution.
Yeah, as long as you do it manually, just turn the valve off and on or whatnot, give a 30-second hole in the travel of the pipeline and set it back on and another or something like that. And we do it manually. Maybe we can write that up in the FPP.
The main thing is just to keep it wet.
Yeah, right. Keep it wet. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The whole thing is nice and it might work, but it's better just to keep it in water.
Oh, sure.
So it's going to be 3 days long. You want to do something different.
Yeah, definitely want to clear out the whole thing.
If it were going to be that long, I think we'd just do the whole thing.
Well, it still sounds like a fish passage plan change form, at least providing some additional.
The current operation isn't in there, so changing it wouldn't require a change to the FPP right now.
But an addition form.
An addition form.
Change form to add.
I don't.
An editing form.
A missing piece form.
I don't know that it's necessary to put in the FPP. It's in the dewatering plans for the project. And that may be well enough. Since I'm the one that has to do the FPP.
So, Ben?
Yeah.
Are you hearing this? It sounds like there's an interest in, even if it's just a brief write-up in the FPP to make sure that this is covered in there?
You want some sort of pulse thing covered because there's nothing currently in there. I'll need some input as far as when somebody, like, what's the threshold for starting some sort
like
of pulse thing,
that
I guess.
It needs a little more discussion than just having Ben write something.
Okay.
Because the idea of just throwing a few rags down, you know, like we used to do with the small monitor, we throw a bunch of pig.
Okay. Well, sounds like this is you have some action going, some action on this next week.
Not that common, so I mean we can have a separate discussion about this. It's not that common of an occurrence, and in the winter we don't pulse, and we also don't find dead fish. So before we make it more complicated than it needs to be, we should probably really think about what's the practicality of that.
Yeah, I think that 60-minute timer was probably in there because the duration to have that out for longer than that is kind of bizarre. I mean, we did encounter that, but again, it was we lost the entire powerhouse, so that's hopefully rare. we can do whatever. If this is okay with everybody, we'll implement the change to supply constant water, and then if folks want to tell me what they want to see, if it's an extended outage for pulsing or whatever, I'll be happy to do it.
Okay. So, and we'll have this either as an update or an action item on the next agenda to just follow up on what work is supposed to happen probably later this week.
Yep.
And
I think what this is that if we're normally your extended outages at the end of the winter, end of the season, and you don't have fish in there. But when this thing shuts down right in the middle of the run with a lot of fish moving through, then the normal clean-out procedures probably aren't really applicable here. And that's when it comes to attitudes. How do you clean it out if it's going to be down for a long period of time? And not without killing fish.
I think we have a month to mull it over. Next FPOM will have an update on where we're at. And at that next FPOM, we can discuss next steps.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, 2.6, Bonneville tie crane, and this is going to be discussed on item 4. So, moving on to 2.7, WDFW fish view lights, and FFU will review option of having first bank of lights on from November to March.
Discuss on item
under 13. Okay. Done with action items, moving on to updates. 3.1, Bonneville, potable water work.
Waterworks? Is that Tammy?
Tammy, do you know who's updating
Waterworks?
This one?
It's just the work that was originally coordinated for the 8th of June has been rescheduled for this week. Just giving you the update. It's already written in there. There you go.
Same comments as before.
Which were?
Should have been scheduled for winter. Yeah. And then the next one, the trash rake test, there is no test scheduled, but Dennis Schwartz had talked with one of the engineers about trying to make some modifications to the rake to make it work properly. It's the same story that you've heard for the last 5, 10 years, whatever it is. It's in the boneyard over by the exit. They haven't done anything with it yet. Maybe before Tom retires, we'll have that thing modified.
Yeah. Will that be the Lord's retirement memorial?
Exactly. The next one.
Turbine out there.
Yeah, they put the first car out there.
Well,
as soon as we get back, that was found.
As soon as we get free,
bring him back in.
Okay. Dave has the floor.
Well, I mean, obviously, this is a nice thing to poke fun at, but if we get another year like we did before, we're going to be sitting here screaming and pulling our hair out. So I hope somebody's taking it seriously.
Yes, in fact, David had raised quite an issue down at the district, and now they are searching for money to make it work.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
For the lamp. It's
a little embarrassing, I would think, to have something that expensive sitting there unused.
And then the next one is, you saw a notification or coordination form about field unit putting cameras in to track lamprey movement at Washington Shore. So that was generally approved, and have you put those in yet?
No, slight correction. We won't be putting them, but we'll loan the cameras to you
guys.
Okay.
We
can
probably help you get that in this week.
Good.
Okay. 3.4, Bonneville spillway repairs delayed till 2011.
That's Randy Lee.
Yeah, just found out a couple weeks ago that the spillway repairs at the spillway apron and the bays 9, 12, and 14 in the old chute have been delayed until the next water work period. This claim to me was due to lack of funding. This is the second year.
Not shovel ready enough.
I don't know. I guess I don't know much about the funding other than it was lack of funding. So it was, I think it was on the stimulus.
Yeah, it was discussed.
Yeah, and I think our team found out about 2 weeks ago during our VE study. And so this is the second year that it's we've been trying to get this was scheduled for this in water work period. We have plans and specs, finalizing the plans and specs, and getting those wrapped up. And
are you anticipating any limitations on spillway operations?
Well, you know, that's the tricky point, because I think this team, the core team that's doing plans and specs and taking this job, we didn't have a plan after. This is our plan. to monitor doing hydro surveys every 6 months of those areas, at least on the pole. We know we have an issue with that undercut. It's about a 25-foot undercut of the spillway apron.
A lot of spill this year.
And so the team is going to meet tomorrow, and we didn't have a plan for kind of critical failure and consequences. Well, I think one of the consequences you can see is if we do fail a slab on the apron, and our structural engineering analysis shows that that has a high, pretty high potential of failure right now, because it's at least 25 foot undercut and maybe 20 feet along the length of the room back, at least 25 feet. We couldn't go that far. There's geology wise, there's a soft clay layer that goes up to the north end of the spillway. We just have to look at it in terms of, you know, potential failure of what's going to happen to not only the spillway, but what's the consequence of the operations. And that is the spill issue, not only for the H&H, the hydraulics and hydrology, and try to do what we need to do to pass major flood events, but also on the spillway operations for fuel fish spill. Because we can't, with the holes that erosion holes at 9, 12, and 14, that puts some less, we can't really operate those as, it puts more pressure on the spillway operation with the next, with the remaining bays. And so one failure mode is the slab fails, can't spill out of
two, three, and four
maybe.
Big holes and
then we got to put more pressure on the rest of the spillway to operate.
No, it's more
and
there's,
we know that
the pattern,
the pattern is pretty bad. We have to have that full pad, the full spillway operating for the fish fill. And then again, but you know, the added thing that doesn't concern that this group, but the H&H end of it, if we get a bad flutter band, what do we do?
So Randy, when's your next survey?
Our next survey, we're hoping we want to try to get it done within the next 3 weeks. I know we had it planned. We had it in the paper wanted to do something in the summertime, so we're going to do another survey. The surveys we have right now only deal with the holes at nine, the erosion holes at 9, 12, and 14. We've done three of them in the last year and a half, and there hasn't been any. Differences in what we've seen. It's kind of been measurable for the type of survey.
That much.
Yeah, we can't tell. It might be half an inch. We can't get down to that. We haven't seen feet. There's a potential failure there, flooding the galleries, and again, shutting down spillway bays. And not only that, maybe the one that's there, but maybe the adjacent one because of the type of hydraulic action we get. So there's, I think tomorrow, to send the team, our interim team's meeting tomorrow to look at taking a, what we call, I'm kind of calling it a potential failure mode analysis, in which we identify the failure and the consequences that we can run up to manage, our management to take some.
The funding for this was strictly, was it? What budget is it? I know it's all happening, but what source?
Yeah, I'm not the TL.
Wasn't
standard. Something else.
Randy, if you said it, I missed it. What was the reason for not being able to get it done this next year?
It was totally lack of funding, and there's a detail in there. And the lack of funding, it's a stimulus package type of funding. And I think I'm not too quite sure, but I'll say it anyway. It was a cost share with BPA matching funds, and BPA couldn't come up with funds. So, that's what I understand.
How the heck did that happen? That's what the money bags
are.
Yeah.
But in any case, I didn't know if this group knew that. I think at the time that I found out, there was probably a small few that knew it. And we were surprised in our team because we were working on plans and specs to get a contract out for this in-water work period. But in the meantime, now the team will complete plans and specs on it. And what we were last year, we put it on the shelves, and at least that's the current plan.
So let's see.
Unless we can find out how to get it back.
If the spillway fails, then we can't.
Hey, go talk to her after all, right?
I'm just thinking about BPA's motivation.
He's been in the South too long.
Any conspiracy theories?
Is this a policy issue?
Did you bring a cook down there? I'll check into it. Whether that was.
And, yeah, I might be wrong on the detail. I don't know. It's just that there was explained to me lack of funding, and then we got into that.
Dave has a question.
Well, I just wanted to clarify, Randy. You said the 25-foot undercut. Did I hear you say it was just below bays 3 and 4?
3 and 4 on the apron.
Okay.
Yeah, downstream. 20 feet wide, 20 feet, at least 25 feet deep, back towards the upstream.
Do you know how long they have to shut off spill to do the test?
Four hours. Just half a day. It's kind of typical. We've done that.
So, Randy, do you anticipate new information by July 9, which is our next FPO meeting?
I'll try to find out where I can get it. I think I don't know where we're going to head for out of tomorrow, but okay. I think I can, you know, we'll get something, if there's something in there.
Well, I think there'll definitely be the interest here. Probably this will be a, my guess is an update for the next quite a few.
Yeah, we're trying to get that survey done. I anticipated us doing our repairs this year and kind of was behind on the survey part, but I'm trying to get that in.
Okay. Well, thanks, Randy. Okay. We'll queue this up for another update next month.
Okay.
One more Bonneville update before we leave the Bonneville update section. Just regarding the truck pad, we already made reference to the Laura's Memorial. Well, the Herson Memorial.
Herson Memorial truck pad.
Yeah, the Memorial Flush is, there's some minor alterations that they were working to get on that truck pad. I just talked to John Bailey just before this meeting started. He's received word that within the next 2 to 3 weeks, those alterations will be implemented, giving us enough time to get the fixes in place before trucking season.
And test them.
Yep. So that's good news. So I can give you another update next month, but that's where we're at today. It looks good. So, all right. 3.5, the Dalles Shad Fishery. No shad fishery at this time.
No fishing yet, and it's not very likely at this point. With the salmon fishing opportunities, they'll probably have it. They
can't drum up an interest. It's probably unlikely then.
It's a slim chance now. Last I talked to Roger, they didn't even have the that L-shaped net new design. They didn't even start on
it. So focus is elsewhere.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Wouldn't anticipate this staying on the agenda then?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Okay.
I didn't know if it changes.
Sounds good. The Dalles, Juveniles and Gatewells with closed orifices?
We've been watching that, and we can't see a correlation between the gatewells that have the orifices closed and the ones that haven't opened yet. But it's pretty limited observation because the lighting has to be just right to be able to see it. So. We'll just keep watching it through the season, and we'll let you know what it looks like at the end of the season. But we're not seeing any correlation.
Okay.
In other words, there's a few fish in there as expected, but nothing unusual for closed orifices.
Yeah.
They should find their way back out, so as we anticipate. Yeah.
All right, thanks. The Dalles units 1 and 2 out of service for 3 hours today.
And that was, it's added on to basically what we had already coordinated for the fish unit outage that they're going to have to do with this contract. One of the things we didn't anticipate was the unit 1 and 2 outage, and it's like 3 hour shot. Our main unit 1 and 2 off, and it's about 3 and 4 on.
What's going on with the fish unit?
The fish unit coordination has to do with the contract for upgrading the breakers. Yeah, a pretty big contract. And that one was a night outage on the, I can't remember the date.
22nd, 23rd, I think? Or 21st and 22nd?
Night outage.
Yeah, it's a night outage.
Okay.
That's it.
Good. All right, 3.8, John Day deflector work.
The extension was approved, just so everyone's aware of that, and the coordination form should be posted to the web.
All right. 3.9, McNary 2009 summer operations. For some people, this horse has been beaten enough, but just wanting to feed it into FPALM so everyone's up to speed. McNary 2009 summer operations. The FOP had defined where TSWs were going to be, and that was bays 19 and bay 4. That has been changed, coordinated with pretty much everyone, a lot of people here. TSWs are now in bays 19 and 20. And this plan is for summer spill to be at 50%. So that's the one variable that changed from last year. Last year was 40 versus 60. This year it's going to be 50%. Summer operations at McNary, it, when you read the FOP, it says it'll, summer operations start July 1 unless coordinated earlier because of research purposes. Well, the it was coordinated to occur earlier, and summer operations started at McNary yesterday at 0001.
Fish were released for the study Friday, was that right, or something like that?
That was the last I've heard. I've actually been out of the office and haven't checked my email.
I just heard it in Mississippi.
Yeah, I called Marvin on my way in today to ask that question, and he said he didn't. He had not heard of anything changing, so the fish, my guess, were released when they originally planned, but...
The study's on,
and the study fish should have arrived after we started summer operations. So the study fish are subject to summer operations at McNair, which is what we want.
Yep.
It started yesterday or the day before? What did you say?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yep.
And it runs through August at 50%.
Yes. Yeah, we're...
Yeah, that's a full season.
Full season through the end of August. So that's not new news to many people, but it's new to this, to F-Palm. So,
this is Martin Allman.
Hey, Martin.
And I was asked to give you guys an update on the McNary stuff. It seems some hydrophones were damaged when they pulled that TSW out. And so Ryan Lowry, who's been working on this, just let me know that they're going to request a outage. Hopefully tomorrow, or they would like to request an outage, hopefully tomorrow to reinstall some hydrophones. I think they're looking at maybe a couple hours to do that.
So what kind of an outage, Martin?
Spill outage, I would assume, to get some hydrophones in. And I can grab Ryan if you guys would like.
The entire spillway or just part of it?
I have no idea. I tell you what, if you just hang on a second, I'll grab Ryan and he can come answer those questions for you.
That'd be great.
You got a second?
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Martin.
He's right here.
Ryan.
This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, you're on with F-Palm here, and okay. Martin just mentioned that hydrophones were damaged and will likely require an outage, and we don't know how long the outage would be, is going to be, and the extent of the outage. Can you give us some details on that?
Sure. Yeah, I was just contacted by Noah Adams via email and then also on a phone conversation. Noah's requesting about a one-hour outage and maybe 2 hours to reinstall two shallow hydrophones that were on the pier on between bays 19 and 20. And then he's also requesting to install two more hydrophones on the pier on the north side between bays 18 and 19. And the sooner, the better for the study, according to Noah. So...
And how extensive? Are we talking just a few bays or the whole spillway?
Just a few bays for him to be able to get in there.
A few bay outage, Ryan?
He'll just need the TSWs turned off, and then I'm not sure exactly on how many other bays, if he can operate with bay 18 operating and bay 21 or not.
I think they were closed.
It doesn't matter.
Just do it. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're spreading the spill around the rest of the spillway.
Yeah, we can still, Ryan. Since I was out of the office, this one's new to me. But in coordinating similar items in the past, I don't see why we couldn't still spill 50% just and move that spill further to the north. Do you have anything that would change that, Ryan?
No, I agree with this completely. I'm just ensuring that we're touching base with everybody that needs to know and making this happen.
Study's too important.
Yeah.
Just get her done.
So unanimous F-Palm approval to get it done ASAP.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yep.
Oh, hey, wait a minute.
I was saying that as sort of a question and getting head nods. Was there anyone that disagreed with that last statement?
This is emailed to us, like, the what ifs, that kind of stuff. So I got for the records, would be nice.
Okay.
Coordination should I think it come up with the coordination
paper tomorrow.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about talking to people.
Hey, Ryan?
Yes?
Can you just write a quick paragraph of this discussion, write it up, email it to John Bailey, and John can forward that to all the FFOL members here?
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
All right. 3.10, lower granite barge test. We don't need to go into much detail on this. In a nutshell, everything went well. We had flow, and you know, it was about 140K. It was basically exactly what we were wanting in the test, which was relatively high. It was about the high water for the year, the high flows. And so we got the high flows. We did the test. We're going to be truing it up with the model down at Erdick. And really the point here is to look at, can we keep the same loading dock? Do we move it? If we do move it, where's the ideal place to move it? So it was really informative, and so I don't think there's any other details that we need on that other than it was successful.
Is there a report? I talked to Don Wilson about it a bit down in Erdick, and he sounds like he had some eye-opening experiences in talking with the pilots of the barge.
I have a summary, a one-page summary that we can email out. So we'll email this out to you all, just a one-pager explaining the details. But nutshell, it went well, and it's going to inform future.
It's also not done. You're going to leave the cameras in place, and then you're going to repeat the study when the flows are lower to see if the conditions are different.
Yes.
But it should be invisible to us.
Yeah, and so I'm just reading through this. The cameras are still rolling. We're continuing to collect data on this. But the good thing is we did the barge test during the high flow events. We actually had a barge moving back and forth.
This isn't the public television stuff. This is something else.
This is something else.
Did they forget their cameras? Can I come and get one?
So we'll forward this summary on to you all. Okay. All right. We're off updates. 10 after 11. Move to item number 4, Bonneville Tie Crane.
Is Jim Kalman on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. All right. It's all yours.
You have the floor, Jim.
All right. Bert Platt asked me to call in and primarily just be available to answer any questions for you folks, but I'm going to give you a little quick rundown on where we are right now. Of course, everybody knows the crane is out there at Bonneville, second powerhouse. It was originally designed by Canlift and built by Westmont, and it was designed as a special purpose-built crane. It was strictly for moving the ties and installing them on the powerhouse. It was really not designed for any other use, and it was not designed to be used with the ties hanging from the end of the crane and traveling at the same time. So it's very specifically built. It's what they call a CMAA Class A crane, which is the lightest weight and least fatigue-resistant class that we have. So about 2 years ago, we had some problems with cracks found in the boom, and a decision was made at that time to replace the boom instead of repairing it, and we've moved forward from that decision. And the plan was to stay within the constraints that we've got. The constraints of the original design dictate that we have to replace the existing boom with one of equal weight or lighter, and the plan was to improve the quality of the weld details, change the material, and then add a nitrogen pressure system to try and improve the fatigue resistance of that boom structure. So at the time of the award, there was a special material that Canlift called out. By the way, Canlift was the contractor who did the plans and specs for the new boom that was just recently built, in addition to being the original designer of record for that crane. So they called out a material, and at the time of award, that material was available in the marketplace. So we stepped out and put Dix to work on it. They got the contract. And then in about
late January of this year as a result of some failed radiographic testing on the welds and our investigation of why those welds were failing, and the contractor kind of throwing their hands up saying we couldn't figure it out. Between Rich Amaker and I, we figured out that they had used the wrong tubing material. So the steel that they had purchased was not what was originally spec'd out. And we told them, okay, throw that stuff away, go get the right stuff. And they went through an extensive market survey and came back and said they couldn't find it anywhere in the marketplace at that time. And so we went back to Canlift and said, hey, we need help. Can you look for that material also? And we ended up looking in Canada, Japan, Brazil, France, Germany, Italy, United States, Mexico, all over the world, and we could not find that particular tubing material. It just happens to be a situation where it is a rare material, and it was all used up at that particular point in time. So we got a problem. And what do? We worked with Dix, the contractor, and came up with a stress-relieving process, which is something that's spelled out under the AWSD 1.1 Carbon Steel Structural Welding Code. And we decided that was an appropriate means of changing the level of work hardening and residual stresses in the weldment as a whole and bringing that structure back into compliance with the original design requirements from Canlift. And then we went further. We asked the contractor to perform some mechanical testing and prove that the material properties would, in fact, be what we expected them to be. They did that. The mechanical testing came in at acceptable levels, and so we have good solid evidence that we've got a boom structure that's going to be equal to what we originally specified, even though it's made with a slightly different fabrication process. So at this point in time, Dix is back to work. They did issue a resume work order to their subcontractors doing the fabrication, and the boom itself will be headed over to Beaver Heat Treat here in Portland tomorrow for the heat treatment process, or the stress relieving process. And the final delivery date is projected to be about 7th of August at this point in time. So that's where we are right now. Are there any specific questions that I can answer for you?
Any questions?
Were there any new limitations placed on the use of the crane because of this?
No. The boom that we're getting is going to be essentially a direct replacement existing boom. The rating will remain the same for the crane, but we do expect that we will have better fatigue resistance. The original boom was not quite as fatigue resistant as we needed it to be based on the experience that we had with it. So we do expect to perform a little bit better in that respect. And we also have a nitrogen pressure system that's been added to the boom. And it's basically the four main tubes that form the longitudinal elements of that boom structure are going to be charged with pressurized nitrogen, and there will be a leak detection system on there. So if the pressure ever drops, we know we've got a crack that's developed, and we can go in and repair it instead of waiting until it was too late. You know, the cracks have gotten to the point where they're too big to repair.
Great.
Well, if you can't build it strong, pump it full of gas.
Yeah, yeah.
At least it's floating.
From Oregon.
That sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions for Jim?
Don't go anywhere, Jim, though, because you're needed for the next one.
Okay. I'll stay on the line here.
Okay. Well, we'll move to agenda item 5. John Day North Ladder Construction Window Extension Request.
We have already got coordinated an outage from the middle of November to the middle of March, and just was to see if we could extend it another 2 weeks to the end of March. I sent around some information on passing numbers of Chinook and Steelhead during March from 0307. Look at the steelheads in the one to several thousand, and the Chinook from 1 to 100. Also sent some spill information to kind of look at the relationship, not during this time, but during the year, when you have spill and what passage at which ladder. So most of it's up the south, but not as much, very much spill. And the idea was to see if we could extend the work period. Probably there's one issue in particular about getting some of the actuators that may actually have to be manufactured and whether we get him in time. And we wanted to see if there were problems with extending it for them.
Well, that's the issue is we'll be steelhead, summer steelhead, moving up about that time. And you know, I remember we did this a while back, and Oregon complained pretty loud about some concerns they had with the fish not passing through up into the John Deere river system. I don't know. I don't remember if there was any follow-up to that to determine how serious that really was. But, Rick, do you have any...
I don't have any information on that. I'll have to look into that.
In this arena.
So when did it come up before?
Oh, boy.
Okay. Well, that was before my time, so I have no personal knowledge. I'll look into it. You did what?
Some fly fishermen have got good connections in their office. That screamed bloody murder. John, the fishing on John Deere was awful. It was all our fault for shutting down this
stuff. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there was any real evidence that there was a problem.
Yeah.
I know. I disagree with them. Go check that out for us.
Yeah, I'll go check that out. So, what are the dates again?
It's March 15th to March 30th.
Yeah. Well, in looking at the data that you sent out, you know, I see that there are, you know, at times quite a few fish going through the ladder at that time period. But I also summed up the number of fish going through in the earlier 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And there are times when there are more fish moving in the early part of March. And so I'm wondering why we're okay with closure of in March at all.
I think it's mostly that the south ladder is predominantly used. That's all.
So it is. Yeah, by far.
That was
amazing.
The thing is, we're
going to,
it's not, both ladders will not close. One ladder will be
there.
Oh, okay.
During this period.
Okay. It's the both outage. I mean, you got to complete the
outage. The both outage is going to be the latter 2 weeks?
No. That's what we got to discuss next. Mm-hmm. That's the next thing.
This is just, so I didn't say having both ladders up.
This is just for the adding the north ladder outage.
Okay.
Don't we in March sometimes get like a 50-50 split with Bremer? In the north and the south.
But this was the total. This is the total.
Should have sent out the
drill.
Yeah.
I didn't have the ladder separation. We can get it.
How it breaks down. This is total count.
Total count. Okay.
That's all I have. Separation. Yeah. If you want to see that, we'll get it together for you.
So this is separate. This is the separate.
Mm-hmm. This is just for the north ladder work that we're going to be doing at the exit section. And, you know, the reality is if those parts are delayed getting here, the actuators, then we'll have to ask for an emergency anyway.
As far as the north ladder being down for that time period, that's not a problem. It's going to be this 5.1.
Right. 2 weeks.
We're going to have a problem.
Yep. Then we're going to have a 2 week period.
So who's asking for the second?
That's
project.
Project
needs 2 weeks
the units
for the south. Yeah, needs 2 weeks minimum for the south ladder.
But when?
That'll just be minimum.
Well,
is it up or December variable?
Early December?
December probably.
Yeah,
they'll just be like in
December.
As long as it's an overlap in the middle of winter, that's no problem.
Yeah. Okay.
That's no problem.
Okay.
If it's March.
It's going to be early December.
So this is the 2 weeks, and hopefully then we'll be able to button everything up for the South Fisher where we have on for the next unit, right?
Yeah. That should be that's okay as long as it overlaps. And Oregon needs to.
Yeah, you decide. We'll try to get you the ladder split.
On which again?
On all of this.
Okay.
We heard nothing but belly aching the last time. And I don't want that to happen again. So, whoever that guy was, a biologist out of there, one of the whoever the district bio is for that John Day River.
For John Day?
For John Day River.
Well, he's retired now.
No problem. I'll be okay. Probably okay.
Huh? No, that's the Dalles. Yes, it is. But the John Day was Tim Unterwagner. And
isn't it just
John Day in the Dells, biologist.
John Day is a district unto its own, and the Dalles is just the lower Deschutes.
Yeah. Okay. The only thing is if you guys had any
yeah. I mean, looking at Texas, this obviously north, not the south. So,
yeah. So do you want me to stir up the hornet's nest or just let it lie?
I'm just saying, just
if you don't object, then we can let it lie.
Just don't want to hear from you again.
Like, that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, obviously, we are going to try to get it done by the 15th, no matter what. Yeah. And we'll try, I mean, we're debating whether to specify that in the contract and then make them request additional time should they need it, because they can't build these things in time. So there's a couple of strategies, whether you guys are willing to kind of give it as an emergency thing if we need it versus specifying it now and just getting it over with. I mean, it's easy. It's probably better to just give them the time they need right now.
There really will be no biological impact from this if they do it right. You know, if there's no outage, no concurrent outage in the spring,
yep.
There's no concern. Midwinter, there's no fish moving anywhere other than fallback and reassembly type things.
Okay. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. So as stated, I would be okay with this if there's a change.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to advertise the plans and specs mid-July. So if you have real concerns, please let Dave know before we act on it, so we can change that.
There's two officials.
Okay.
Oh, for once.
Zing. So is this unanimous from FPALM that it's okay as written?
No, but we're going to wait to hear from Rick, is how I understand.
No, if he wants to say it's okay now, it's okay.
From the sound of it, it sounds okay to me, but I will inquire, but I won't inquire too terribly far. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a problem.
No,
you know, if the south is open, most of the fish are going to get through. The guy won't even notice it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he's expired anyway.
So it's okay ensuring that the south ladder is open.
Dave has a question here.
Just to clarify, the two-week outage for the south ladder in the wintertime, do you have a specific time you need to do it, or can it be any time during the winter period?
It can be basically, well, maintenance hasn't responded to my inquiry what would be their preferred time, but because traditionally we have NEDLAC outages later, December looks good.
Okay, good.
We're trying, of course, to get the best weather, too, but usually December isn't that bad.
Just depends.
Just determine they're working on now. We need to make sure that's buttoned up before we do the swap. So, you know, the timing's right. We'll do it in December. But,
so, everybody got that fairly clear? No concurrent in March. We try to make sure the south ladder work gets done in December. Okay.
Okay. Moving on then. Agenda item 6. Derek, are you on the phone still?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. Okay, we're on agenda item 6, McNary Fishway Entrance Operation for Lamprey. If you recall, last FPALM, two FPALMs ago, this topic came up. Last FPALM, we said that we'd provide monthly updates on this operation at McNary. This is the first update, and Derek, the floor is yours.
Okay, yeah, we worked with the University of Idaho to develop a block test design, and I haven't forwarded that out yet, but I can now. So it'll be two-day blocks running through the bulk of the season, and what we have scheduled here tentatively is to start the 1st of July and run the test through, I believe it's the 11th or 10th of October. We had a meeting last week at McNary to go over this with Brad and some of the operations folks at McNary, and they didn't seem to think that was a problem to program the gates to be lowered down to their lowest elevation to reduce the velocity treatment nights. And so bottom line is we're moving forward with
trying to implement this and get some biological testing of the reduced entrance velocity canary this year.
You're going to have some, this is Dave, you're going to have somebody out there the first few nights making sure that it's getting what you think?
Yes, yeah. We'll have our engineers and I'll be out there, and everybody's on the same page, the project bios and the researchers, so we're going to be taking a pretty close look at thing and measuring water elevations in the fishway and in the tail race, and so yeah, it's working its way forward, and we're getting close to implementing this.
There also will be a nighttime counts, video counts of McNary. There will be.
So, and so, Derek, you mentioned that you had that block test design written up and ready to distribute.
Yes.
If you could email that to John Bailey,
sure.
And John will send it out to FPOM.
Yes.
Thanks a lot. Any other questions for Derek while he's on the phone? One,
yeah.
And this is for Tom and Gary too. One additional thing for McNary, as Derek mentioned that the project's been involved in this and everyone's on board. One thing that I just talked to Brad before the meeting, one thing he'd like to do is do just a quick, like 30-minute test of this nighttime operation, but do it during the day so you can actually be there. They've programmed everything so that it will go automatically. They just want to make sure that, okay, when that happens automatically, is there going to be any issues? And they'd like to do it in daylight hours when people are there, just to see if, make sure they're not causing any problems. And so, sometime in the afternoon, like on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, just a quick lower it and then bring it back up just to make sure the automated system is working and that we don't have some unanticipated problems.
Do it late in the day, yep. So that if it breaks, you have time to fix it overnight. And make sure there's people around to fix it.
Yeah. Okay.
Do it first part of the day. So
yeah, don't break it first thing in the morning.
Got it. So
make sure it's not on Friday afternoon.
Right. Or even Thursday afternoon. Thursday afternoon.
That's right. Thursday afternoon.
So I'll ask Brad to do it either
Wednesday.
Tomorrow or Wednesday. And starting like to not start before 2 o'clock. Is that that work?
Pushing the button, nothing happens.
So, so 2 p.m. on Tuesday or Wednesday.
That'll give them time to fix the problem.
Yep. Okay. Great. Derek, anything else?
No, that's it. I was going to stay on the phone here for the Ice Harbor discussion with Martin. And
sure. Okay. Well, thanks, Derek. Actually, I would like to move to agenda item 8. Just for the benefit of Martin and Derek on the phone. Martin, are you still on?
Yeah, I am.
Great. So we're moving to agenda item 8. We'll come back to 7. Martin is going to talk about proposed modification for the fishway entrance at Ice Harbor, similar to what we're doing at McNary. And so with that, the floor is yours, Martin.
Okay. At this point, we're not actually talking about modifying the entrance, but just, again, a nighttime operation for Ice Harbor like we did at McNary.
Yes.
At Ice Harbor, the south shore entrance, the north powerhouse or the non-overflow entrance, and the north shore fishway entrances all have two gates, and they currently operate with only one of those two gates open. So it would be a very simple operation for Ice Harbor to lower that second gate at nighttime to reduce attraction velocities while maintaining attraction flow for the lamprey at night. McNary, we had the added flexibility of just lowering the existing operating gates down further So there's plenty of tailwater at McNary to do that. At Ice Harbor, we don't have that flexibility. During the summertime, the single operating gate is generally down on seal. So the only way to gain additional reduction in velocities is to lower that those other gates. And so what we would propose, if this is a route the region would like to go, is a daytime operation similar to is what we've done at McNary, and just seeing how feasible it is, seeing what the other impacts are, and then come back to you guys with a summary and a recommendation for summertime operations.
No, it sounds good. I'd probably give the same comments we just gave you to Harry. Do it later in the day on a Tuesday or Wednesday, so if something goes wrong, you have that night to get things, the cable breaks or something silly happens, you have some chance to get something repaired.
Well, what I would propose initially is just a daytime test to see how well it operates, and then so we would probably be looking for a daytime test on Thursday, and then come back with a report as to how well it worked. If we actually do drop our velocities down, how much we might drop those down, and then decide if this is something we want to implement for a summertime operation.
So just have people ready there in case something funny happens. So have people there ready to prepare. Yeah. Friday is a little crew shift day, so things break.
Martin, is it possible to do it on a day earlier on Wednesday?
It may be. I talked with Mark Plummer, and he's actually preferred Thursday. Personally, it works better for my schedule. We could send somebody else out there on Wednesday if that's a problem.
I think the only concern is just making sure that if something goes wrong, we have someone there. And so,
I can check with the projects and make sure that we can alleviate that one way or another, either by rescheduling or making sure the project has.
I would think
that available.
If this does go forward on Thursday, as long as we have some backup plan if something goes wrong.
We don't use the gates very often. Right. And trying to use your chance of breaking something or something going wrong is higher.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just want to make sure we're not impacting our adult passages of those projects for 4 days.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. So if we can just have someone from the project on call and willing to
chemical crew available
to work if something goes wrong.
Kind of rig and crew standby.
Yeah.
And if we can coordinate that, then I think folks are on board. I hear that from Tom. I'm seeing other heads nod around the room. This is Gary. You're okay with?
Bill's.
Bill's
project.
Okay.
There's your man.
All right.
Otherwise, Monday.
So, Martin, green light from F-Palm. To move forward on this, and we can anticipate a similar write-up that you did for us last time, which was really helpful for McNary, something similar to that for Ice Harbor.
Training out at the airport.
Okay.
And then we can, I would anticipate discussing this again on July 9 at the next F-Palm meeting.
All right. Now, we can easily schedule it this week. A Wednesday wouldn't work for me. I don't see a rush. I'm not sure when they want to start this juvenile lamprey operation. I'm assuming it's first part of July. So we do have time to get out there and run this test midweek, I believe. So
okay.
If it doesn't happen this week, do you guys want to re-coordinate a day, or you want us just to schedule it as we can get it scheduled with the crew?
Can we just have the green light to schedule it when we can get crews on?
Yeah.
Bill?
And is there a particular time of the day? I think McNary, we shot for 12:30. Does that hold for Ice Harbor as well?
Maybe a little later, but yeah, around that time.
Yeah. Not any earlier than that. If you can eat your lunches first and... around sometime after 1.
That's not a problem.
Okay. Okay, sounds good, and we'll plan to bring this back to FPOM July 9, let you know where we're at, and a proposal on a next step after this. Derek or Martin, any other questions?
I was just going to add a kind of a final thought is just due to the numbers of adult lamprey that are passing Ice Harbor Dam, I doubt we would be able to get any kind of biological evaluation for this. So if we, you know, just for the group's consideration is, you know, if this turns out to be a successful operation in reducing velocities at those entrances, if we were to move forward with this, just to keep in mind, it would be hard to evaluate how well it's going to work with the perceived idea that it's probably likely going to benefit adult lamprey, but just something to keep in mind.
Yep.
Hey, no. Derek, this question, how are the entrance velocities normally compared to, like, McNary there? Are they different?
Well, we all shoot for, I believe, about a foot of head differential across the weirs. That's driving your velocity. So very similar, 8-10 foot per second range.
So I guess the idea is, can we assume that what your evaluation of McNary will kind of represent what you're getting there? Is that what you guys are kind of
I would. You know, the gate configurations in many aspects are similar, but they're not identical. But yeah, I think that's a pretty good assumption that if it is in fact the velocity that's keeping lamprey from entering, if we solve it at McNary, I would expect it's a solution for Ice Harbor.
Yeah, I just want to keep reminding you that when we found out at Bonneville, one entrance it helped and the other entrance it didn't at all. In fact, it was worse. And the major difference was that the north entrance at B2 has like 12 foot at least feet per second, and a lot bigger head. It's got half a foot head, usually more than the south entrance, where I assume the south entrance is probably more like yours, which has that kind of foot and a half. And that, when we did it our way, where we changed the volume and the velocity, actually reduced the number that entered. So I'm just, you know, I'm a little cautious because of what happened there, that's all.
Okay. I guess the biggest difference, Dave, is that our volume of flow will stay the same. In fact, it may even increase slightly because there's a little less head differential on the pumps.
Right.
Our expectation is to maintain the discharge and reduce velocity.
Right.
Which is...
But it's still something new.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Martin and Derek. Appreciate it. You guys are welcome to stay on if you want.
I think I'll sign off.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good afternoon.
Thanks. Okay. How are we doing? Are we keep rolling through?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, all right. Good. We will jump back to agenda item 7. It's true. Thanks.
There's
carrots and graham crackers at the end of the table.
Yeah,
there.
Throw the carrots this way.
So, agenda item 7, McNary Tainer Valve Coordination.
The Tainer Valve coordination was done earlier this month. The project was lucky enough to be able to put screen, you know, because they're looking at the screens at the very front of the Oregon Shore Ladder. Things they jam. We're looking at debris build up there. We're trying to figure out to send a camera down to take a look at it. So I closed the valve off. We're able to put in one set of stop logs on the south shore, because that's the screen that actually was jammed up.
Was Michael available?
But they were not able to send a camera down, and they still haven't been able to send a camera down in there.
Richard's
up. And see what the jam situation is.
Which container is this, Greg?
The container at the Oregon Shore Ladder right at the very top.
Okay.
You know, one that supplies the water to 1,000 CFS on the irrigation district. Yeah. There's only one set of bulkheads in right now. The other set is open, and it's allowing, you know, keeping the water level, the wet level, keeping differential.
I sent the original adult fish count on the Pasco.
So,
a second?
They're going to keep that way.
Whoever's talking on the phone, if you could just put your phone on mute. Thank you.
So right now, we're scheduled to looking at that thing this week. And we're tied up. The crew is tied up doing other things the past couple of weeks. So, what's going on with that? Continued?
I know what a tainer gate is. What's a tainer valve?
Same thing. I guess that it's a misnomer. It's actually a gate.
It's
gate.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
It's used as a valve.
But it's, yeah.
This is actually a gate that's sort of like a valve that shuts it on and off the water going down the irrigation system.
It's all a rotary gate.
And
it also supplies the water to the irrigation system.
Is there an outage? Are you
the only outage that's out there is just that there's one bulkhead still in place right now in front of the south shore, or the south end STSs right now, so they can figure out, put the camera down there soon, let's say, and see what's wrong.
But this isn't affecting the ladder.
This is not affecting the ladder differential or flow.
Are they taking half their flow through that, or are they still taking full flow?
Well,
everybody.
I guess it would be a little bit off.
It would be off.
Yeah.
For that high velocity.
Well, you just jam a 1 foot per second through the entire string.
And then it's spilling, 30.
I'll have to look into that. I'll ask them.
I doubt the irrigation district's taking less than that.
I doubt they would. I think they're in the irrigation season now.
That could be pumped up faster and all the issues that go along.
That's where we have the last time years ago, that's where we had a bunch of fish.
And then it pumped up and
then
out.
We know that stream was out a couple of years ago. Yeah, I'll look into that. Yeah, that's very important.
Okay. Well, move on then to agenda item 9, Little Goose Lomo Pit Tag Detector Installation. Steve Richards. Steve, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Hey, Lynn Mendel, the district fish pile out of Dayton. He has initiated this request, the Corps, for installation of pit tag detectors into the adult fishways at Lomo and Goose. His request carries the support of the agency. Glenn and I thought that EFCON would be a good forum to approach the Corps with this request, as well as solicit comments from the other EFCON members. And basically, I guess we're just feeling the waters to see if there's if folks think this is a good idea, or if it's something down the road that's already in the works.
Okay.
The question not in the works.
It's not in the works.
The CRFM budget issue, because it'll come under CRFM funding.
Does.
Program. So, and it's always, those items have been in there, you know, as well as John Bay and the Dalles for years, but have no priority because of no needs. The issue here for us is going to be what conversions we're seeing between ice and granite. And if those conversions are good, then we're not going to be worrying about what's going on at Goose and Moe. It sounds to me like it's more of an issue for the state.
Okay. Did
it's
you
not
get
a high priority unless we can point to what we think is there, that there's a problem there? And we're not seeing that currently, so I don't see that this has a chance of being a high priority item. With tight funding as it is in the last couple of years, it's going to have a tough road to hoe, I think.
Does the state have to approach SCT on this?
But what's the compelling need? I mean, that's...
Well, that's the thing, you know.
Well, that's
you
what
know.
It would be, but it's
as if there was...
SCT is the prioritization.
Right.
Washington rep to bring it up to SCT.
Right, indeed.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with bringing it up to O&M and having a discussion with folks about it, needs and things, because that'll form the basis of the opinion. But
absolutely.
It's been on the spreadsheet over the years.
For a year, and it just keeps
and it's just... It just always ends up at the bottom of the priority list. So it's going to have to generate a lot more interest and issues before. There's no problem with it being on there and people scoring and voting on it.
Right,
it'll get ranked this year to see, or next year,
Just out of curiosity, what would the Bill, do you remember what the funding was for that, what the cost?
A couple million per project?
I think it was a million per project.
Per million?
Sounds about right.
Well, you got 2 million.
So, so have we heard the reasons why they Washington wants this?
It's in the proposal. Glenn's proposal's in here, and he lists three specific needs. You know, one of them is the count issue that they're seeing, you know, between low, mo, and low goose. And then there's bull trout study, bull trout issues, which, you know, I think we need to talk about radio tracking or acoustic tracking for that. That's something that's in the SOWG arena right now. And I think that, you know, may supersede the need for the pit tank detectors, because we'll learn a lot more with the Aquitaine, especially with tracking of Aquitaine. So, Steve, that's something that we need to talk about. You know, there may be more than one way to deal with that number two issue. And then number three, as far as the troubles with the returns on the two cannon, I don't know quite how to answer that. And I'm not sure that this will either. So maybe have a further discussion on that particular item. But
are we counting bull trout in the ladders?
We are counting bull trout in the ladders, every ladder.
Three of them.
We have to, do we do an annual report on them to the service?
We're required to give an immediate response and see them.
Well, yeah, and I was going to bring this up as a separate topic later, just to see if we could sort of rework or standardize something between both districts.
Okay.
I mean, one thing PITTAG will give us is right now, the one goose analysis that we've done is right now we're looking at the projects very well. If you have PITTAG's at the moment, we just feel like anything else, let's see if we change that over time.
But you'll get travel times from ice to
Granted, but you're not going to know where
there's real water.
You know if
you're seeing a problem,
yeah.
Well, then you want to
that's what I'm saying. Look, yeah. That's the next. Yeah, that's what I was doing before I came in to talk to Jerry. He's going to maybe start taking a look at that. We'll see if we look at travel times you're seeing in the past couple of years with past year detections. And if you start seeing a problem, then the detections make sense at those projects. So you start ferrying out where you're seeing the light. Yeah. If we don't see a problem there, or travel times are pretty constant, then the need for that becomes less and less critical.
Or if you can explain it.
If your overall travel times are good.
Yeah.
And if they're not, and it's a high flowing year, then
you got to look at that.
Bill, when's the next SCT meeting?
Wednesday afternoon.
Steve, are you aware of the SCT meeting on Wednesday?
No.
Because that's going to be the place. This is an opportunity for some discussion here, and I'm fine with it. But really, SCT is the place where they're going to rank projects and make recommendations on which projects are above the cut line and which ones fall below. And so,
are you sure that your Washington rep is at the SCT?
Yeah. And when you know, people, tell us.
Yeah.
We kind of like them too.
Yeah, the Washington rep. That's what I understand.
Steve, you are definitely, you and Washington are definitely invited to SCT and encouraged to participate in.
And it's here in the same room.
Same
people. Yeah, same people.
Okay, one thought I had was with the current spill regimes that we're carrying out, we're doing out the projects. The pit tank detectors in these all fishways would probably really help us with ladder reascension rates. The conversion rates that I see on the web are for specific fish. The travel times are for specific fish. It may be real beneficial if we could get a better understanding of the reascension rates at Low Mo and Little Goose, and I think these reascension rates are drastically affected by the different spill regimes that we carry through. Are you feel the same way about that, or
that's true? You would get better information, but what I would do is first make sure that we don't have most of that information from RT studies.
Well, I think it varies almost annually, and even during the course of course, the season re-extension rates can vary quite a bit depending on operations.
But that's what the RT studies are supposed to help us with, too. I mean, we've had fish going through that dam with radio tags forever.
Yeah.
And
do we currently have RT studies going on?
Yes, but I don't know if there's antennas there. I don't know.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you, Gary.
I don't know if there's antennas set up, so I guess that's something that I would talk to Chris Cottle about and see if they are looking.
Well, we had a radio telemetry study just last year. We didn't have these high flows.
That's right.
All the way from Ice Harbor Lower Granite.
Mine that information first to make sure there's not enough to cover your questions before we do this. But yeah, you would get that information with the pit tag detectors, yes. You don't know how they fell back, but you'd know if they fell back. And it helped adjust
your
mouth.
The pit tag detectors at Lower Granite and Ice Harbor, you know, give you pretty up-to-date information.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting to see how the rate will fluctuate depending on the group of fish and current spill. I see what spill is driving that, not always.
Do you guys have a rep at all? I mean, is there anybody who would be at SCT on Wednesday?
That should be our policy, folks.
Bill?
Bill Twight would be, or one of his people.
Well, talk to Bill Twight, because we haven't seen one of his people at SCT for a long time.
There's nobody but Bill, I think. So.
You've got to take charge of who gets their vote.
He has Cindy LaFleur.
Or Cindy, make sure somebody gets it into the hopper for Wednesday's meeting.
So Steve, I guess the take home for me on this is I think everyone would agree here that there could be some benefit to this. It's just SCT is, and so you've made the case for this project, and it's in the hopper, and now the next step is to participate in the prioritization process so that your priorities are reflected as projects move forward with funding. So,
and in this case, guys, I'm just a delivery boy.
At Washington,
yeah, we kill them.
All the materials on the
spreadsheet,
and it can be scored and ranked this year.
Okay, great. So, Steve, if you can just reiterate to Bill or others that you are definitely invited to SCT.
Yeah, more than invited, you're requested to come and participate.
Yeah, we would strongly appreciate and encourage your participation. So,
SCT.
System Configuration Team.
Yeah, I just want to make sure it was an F.
Yes.
When do they rank all these?
Yeah,
this
is the ranking what they do.
Is it happening? The ranking is happening?
Starting in July. July meeting will be ranking. Yeah.
So this is a good time to bring it up.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, guys, for your comment.
We'll discuss it on Wednesday. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
That request there ought to be sent out to SCT, Bill.
Okay.
Okay.
He has an option in here. If only one can be done in 1 year, this goose, because it only has one ladder, probably be half the cost is logo. So that might be,
Yeah, no reason we couldn't break it up. And
good point.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Moving on.
You said it was like $1 million to put one of these in?
Tom, I think Tom mentioned about $1 million is what he remembers.
I think it's for both projects. I think it's like
1.5
total.
Okay.
I guess it's low compared to the cost.
Yeah,
that was, of course, done like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's updated the
box.
I would guess you're going to be at least $1 million.
It's
I'd
say 2 to 5.
This is the training.
Okay. Moving on. Agenda item 10. Greg. Little Goose adult fish passage test.
Little Goose passage test. I guess, I sent that notice at FPOM that what actually happened. And really, after doing our test, real quick, as we discussed on the phone last week, too, not much change appeared in adult passage after doing our test. And our test was basically shutting off spill bay number 1, which has the spill surface collector in it right now, so it's that was totally showed off. The spill is trying to maintain the same through a 24-hour period, and we did not see a change in adult ascension rate up Little Goose Ladder. So that eliminated that situation there at 30% of the flows that we saw earlier this year, or earlier this month only, not during the high flows, let's say, during May when we first started looking at it. We had a telephone call conference last week. A number of people here participated in, which I really appreciate quite a bit. It was really a good, productive meeting. And one of the do-outs on that thing was to take a look at the pit tag from Ice Harbor to Lower Granite. And Tom's group really did a good job on putting that up. I want to summarize that real quick. It's good.
You can all thank let's call him the data dog.
Stuart,
Alex.
That's what we're going to
do. He works on TACO, but he basically does a lot of that. Because normally we have Fish Passion Center there for us, but some of the other guys were out playing the Snake River. So Stuart went back and looked through April through June, and then he broke it out for a month of April, broke out the first half of May, the second half of May, and then he broke out June 1st, June 15th. I think some of you have the email. April had a birth rate, I think, around 84%, which was a little surprising to me. But then you look at the numbers of fish he had in there. I think it was like 24 fish and 37 fish. So like one fisherman caught one,
those were harvested.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, one. Yeah, that's when they actually had the harvest, was that time of year. So if one fish got caught, I mean, such small numbers, it's hard to use. The main numbers is what we mostly focused on, because that's where the bulk of the fish come through. And I believe it was a 93 and 98% conversion rates for first half and second half of May. So that was very encouraging to see that high thing. June shows like 42%. The problem is what we saw in the analysis was travel times varied anywhere from 3 days to 24 days. So with June being 15 days, unless you just want to use like June 1st and 2nd fish, I mean, I did a quick little analysis saying, okay, if we took the fish that passed from June 11th forward, the conversion rate was like 80%, and that was only like a 10-day travel time. And obviously, we're seeing that travel times are vast extended. So the June numbers, we just have to wait till the end of June.
Yeah.
That's always a problem.
Yeah.
But what I felt comfortable is looking at back in May, we've had kind of the same constant differential from May forward. So if the May fish look good, unless something really is different about these June fish, I'm fairly comfortable with what we're seeing. And that's not a big issue. The one thing I did notice was June did seem to have, overall, the average travel time was like 4.6 days, and when we just looked at June fish, it was 5.2 days, so it does seem to be a slightly longer travel time in June, which could also correspond to higher flows.
We had high flows in the 180, 190 range for a while, so that's going to
That's
so we know that it's slowing down.
And it was very turbid, too.
Yeah.
In the
turbidity, water was cooler than normal,
mm-hmm.
So that's
mm-hmm.
normal.
All the things we like for juvenile.
Those
were known source, Snake River,
actually, all about Granite Fish.
All about Granite Fish.
So we knew there was no
Idaho. I should say Snake River, Idaho fish.
Yeah. So we're looking at Snake
River. All Idaho fish, and these were all individual tags, followed each way through. That's your test. That's
I think there's only like 1,400 entries in the spreadsheet.
It was 100 only.
Oh, no. It was a headache going through that.
Yeah.
Thank God Stuart does it more than I do.
So Tom, you're okay to maintain what we're doing.
What I saw was I didn't see anything that alarmed me. Mm-hmm. I mean, to see 93 and 90% conversion rates for the pulp for basically May tells me that most of your fish are coming through in May. The one thing it did, two things that popped up that were interesting was one, we saw a difference in travel time, mm-hmm. so that's why I'm having Jerry then take a look at. Let's take a look. He's going to love this request. Let's look at travel times we've seen these past couple of years and compare them to kind of more traditional years past and see, are we seeing a difference in travel times? For me, that's the first step forward. If we start seeing that kind of stuff, then that might argue for some looking at other ways of getting information in dams to see if we're seeing differences between dam travel times. The other thing that was interesting was, is in the analysis, we found 60 fish that 60. Weren't detected at Ice Harbor, but were detected at Granite. So some fish are getting, it could easily be like tag collision or something like that going on to explain why they weren't detected.
60.
So
that's a good number, though.
Should have
coming through. So the funny thing was is that when you threw those numbers in there, that could change your conversion to about 4-5%. So there are some times where we may miss fish. The pit tags are not going to be the end all be all. There are some potentials.
Yeah, but you use your denominator, the fish you start with is what you hear at ice.
and you work with that.
Yeah, but if you get 60 fish more, granted, what do you do with them? Because they obviously
that's
made
fine,
it
they made it to rice. So
yeah, you know they made it past ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still in the pool.
We were just being conservative, saying we want to say only fish hurt at both dams.
Right.
And then we said, so later on, it's actually 60 fish added on. Yeah. So that gives you, so if you throw those in the number, you increase your conversion.
Yeah.
It's better than
yeah.
So I was just saying, we didn't.
How would you know if you missed another 60 at
rice? It doesn't change your conversion.
No.
So,
yeah, I'm just saying, that was the interesting thing we did find.
Well, yeah, we're finding
missing
a lot of
sand. I've seen
up the river up the Columbia that weren't detected in the air.
Yeah.
And that's, you look at the conversions, you look at their good groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're going through the routes.
In reason. Yep.
I wonder what that big chain and anchor, my ankle
is. Dollars.
It's a gold anchor. It might be a gold anchor, but it's still an anchor. I thought like 96. It's stuck in my head somewhere around that.
It's in the 90s. I think on that.
You know what's the conversion rate to the bio for adults? The target.
That
would make sense. You should know.
This is great. The adult guy.
I got it manipulated after.
Excuse me, Tom.
Yes.
Do you guys ever look at Dart, the Dart website?
Yeah, all the time for me.
I spend some time at Dart, mostly not. When I get to this kind of detail, I usually use Pit Tag, or I'll call a Fish Bash Center and make them do it.
Okay, so you don't look at their canned Pit Tag queries?
I haven't yet.
Dog-eared.
Okay, because it sounds like some of the stuff that you have Stuart doing,
they do it automatically.
It's already been done by them.
Yeah, they're part of the buy-off. Richie asked Pitangus to set these up.
They're good. I use this collection. I use them all the time. They're very seldom, hardly any different than if you go do it on your own. It's real small differences, so I've used that a lot.
The only reason I hadn't used it was there were some questions about were the Dart using unique fish.
Right.
These all unique individual fish, and people didn't know on top of their head. So I said, it's just easier. Stuart can do this in like half an hour to get all the fish, and then the question becomes how you want to shoot the data.
Dart will do it in about 30 seconds. Hey, one thing I noticed looking at these count discrepancies is back in between like May 7th and May 17th, it kind of seemed like that's when the count discrepancy first showed up and kind of got, kind of built itself. And since then, we're just kind of almost maintaining that discrepancy. It's not really getting bigger. It's just kind of staying the same.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point.
Not that everything kind of blew up right there in the first...
First part of the month, and that's why we cut it. That's why Tom cut it in 2 week periods, Steve.
I mean, you could have some double count issue, but that's why I felt fairly comfortable, because I mean, May is when we saw this, and end of May had our highest conversions. So I'm looking back, going, okay, if you got really high conversions in May, and that's when we saw the
differential,
I'm feeling pretty comfortable about that. It's just June. It'll be interesting to see how June all pans out. That's my wife not found on my children.
Okay,
all of them.
You guys are curious. They're operating the adult trap at Lyons Ferry for the first time ever during this time of year to see what kind of volunteers they'll get for Spring Chinook. And I think they got one.
That's it, huh?
The adult trap up in the Toucan only has about 500 fish. I was kind of hoping there'd be 10,000 fish returning to the Toucan, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
So then, Steve, we're going to start looking at your fish counters or something in that fish counting room there at Lower Monumental, maybe.
Well, Lomo and Ice Harbor, their counts are real tight.
Well, I want to,
And Little Goose and Lower Granite, their counts are real tight.
Okay.
So it's the lower dams versus the upper dams. That's where the discrepancy is. There's bound to be some computer problems and maybe some nighttime passage and little things like that, but... sure seems like there's a big glob of fish that are stuck somewhere between the dams. but we're not seeing them. You know, ratty old fish coming through.
And that's true.
That have been held up for a while. Yeah. I mean, we're starting to see some fish with injuries and whatnot, the kind of the end of the run type fish. But
okay, I guess what I'm hearing though, the take home is, we'll keep doing what we're doing. We'll keep an eye on it, but there's no reason to overreact. And
there's too many ways the counts can be in error. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. Fall back. You can double count.
Fish that are headed
down, back downstream,
and be counted
as extras.
So,
yeah.
So,
Dave,
did
you have something?
Well, I was curious. Since Tom has left, I was going to ask a question.
Once he finds his way to him.
Yeah. Do we have any information on the ideal passage of these pit tags?
Yeah.
Oh, you would.
It's harder than granite, you do.
So I'm wondering, the tags that Stuart looked at, can we get the diurnal passage and see if we're getting some disproportionate number that we're not aware of passing at night?
Only at ice and granite.
Yeah,
I understand that.
But it was a very small percent. Someone did look at it somewhere in the email chain.
Well, I think just
passage
center analysis of Walsh, like 4 or 3
recently, one of their, I think it was in their June 11th memo.
It's typical. Okay. That's the typical.
Take a peek at it.
Yeah, 3 or 4%. I mean, okay. I asked
for Chanel.
Yeah. Because I asked Jerry about that, and I asked Stuart about that. I said, you know, TAC knows that, and they account for that. They say the only thing is when you see, as long as it happens constantly across years, it's fine. That's how they do the analysis, but it's when something dramatically different changes. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen anything like that yet, but yeah, some night videos or something like that might indicate that.
Well, yeah, it's been pretty constant for years. Okay. It's not higher, and the rest of the species are usually.
We've been looking at 24-hour counts at Rock Island Rocky Reach, because that's the only place we really have 24-hour counts. And working that up now, and it is what we're seeing is about 5% for Chinook. Mm-hmm. It's higher for sockeye. It's sockeye, like 12.
We said, was that for a falls or springers or salt?
We got the whole year. Yeah. So we got like 4 years of data, I think.
It might be interesting to break that out to see if there's.
Yeah, we're working on that. Probably done in the next couple of days. Yeah. Yeah. It's only 24 hour counts we had by hour.
Yeah, but 5% is right in the realm of what you say.
Are you able to give us an update on that after that analysis is done? I think that'd be helpful.
It'll probably be on our webpage.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave, if you want, I can send it out. You'll have times with the fish paddle. You can parse right through it. It'd be quite a little delay.
Well, we had 24-hour counting, too.
In the Snake River.
For years.
We have a long time there.
Look at that information and see what.
Yeah.
We might be able to pull that stuff out, too.
Yeah, you'll have to find the Snake River.
The board are not talking sockeye for this issue, as far as I know. So,
really, the only thing is, has our change in operations changed in how diurnal? Would be the only really interesting question to look at. And
yeah, that's a good question.
I guess radio tag. I mean, we did that big radio tag analysis last year at Little Goose. You can see if any of those radio tag fish travel at night.
Yeah.
We'd have that passage.
You would know that.
And we tag them.
That would be a good thing to look at.
That'd be pretty easy to take a look, see if you saw something different.
That's the same comment earlier.
Yeah.
Yep. Bring the radio tracking data, that's your specific.
We pay enough for it, for God's sake. We use it now.
Okay.
So, Tom, you've taken that action item?
Hell no. I did the pit tag one already. Someone else can take on the radio tag one. Someone else can bring
We'll take a look at it.
Well, you're going to have to.
I want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that was one of the
original things. So I'll look into that.
So, Greg, make this an action item?
Yeah, this is an action item. Yes.
And we'll take a look at that adult study.
The request would have to come from you guys anyways. You're the one who holds the contract.
Oh, that's the thing,
So
I'm going to have to go down to the PM.
Okay. Well, we'll take... Take a closer look at that, but in the meantime, we're not going to jump and scurry to do anything dramatic. We're going to keep doing what we're doing and take a look at this.
And I think, it sounds like if people are comfortable, we can use this DART analysis as a way to do it, and I'll probably have, because Jerry said I think he was going to reshoot.
Jerry's redoing things today, and he could look more into your travel times.
Yeah, we'll probably. Compare it to, yeah,
he's going to have a RevPack tomorrow, so we could also send that out. Sure. Whatever he said, he agreed with what your.
All right.
He didn't throw in the caveats of the June stuff, too, the travel times.
He hadn't seen my email where I basically checked on the whole June data, said don't use it.
Okay, we'll take a look at get additional information, but in the time being, we're moving.
Tag.
Let me just mention, though, if you're going to use the DART data, it's done. If you specify the spring count, if you specify spring adults, it stops counting at each ladder on a specific day, so it's not waiting for new fish.
Well, that was the other part of the reason why I didn't want to use that, because I knew there's that whole concern about when spring fish become summer fish, right, and those ones in transit, I don't know how DART's going to deal with that.
You select all.
Yeah, you select all.
I'm still wondering how they deal with their travel time issue. Okay. I mean, what does DART do for travel time? Do you just basically pick your own date, say, I think it's going to be about 5 day travel time?
You can pick your own dates and your race or whatever you want, but if you pick spring, it's going to have locked dates on it.
One thing to consider, guys, it is kind of a goofy year with jack returns and whatnot. We all know that. If there was a big production or a decent return to the Toucan and Lions Ferry area, those fish wouldn't necessarily be pit tagged. So if you're using fish from, if you're thinking that these missing fish originate above Lower Granite, you know, that'd only be, you know, your pit tag data would only help you if these fish did originate above Lower Granite. So if they originated below Lower Granite, there's probably a good chance a lot of them aren't pit tagged. Therefore, they wouldn't show up in these conversion rates and travel times and whatnot.
Yeah.
Good quiet.
I thought we just heard at least at Lions Ferry and Toucan and they weren't seeing anything.
Yeah, but you know, time will tell. I mean, we predicted only like 100 some adults back at Ringgold this year. We got 2,500. You know, it is a goofy year, so until...
This does get into a bigger kind of issue that probably Fittergast addressed about what's the future reality of pit tag readers, other additional pit tag readers, and how it leads into Zone 6 harvest and all these other issues as well. So sometime we got to deal with the future of the pit tag system.
And Jim Ruff, the Power Planning Council, is calling a meeting to talk about that very topic. So
when's that going to happen?
I didn't see the date on it yet, but he's been charged with assembling that kind of a group.
Good.
I take it you guys want to be participating?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. We're going to move on to agenda item number 11, spill response plans for fishways. I think Tammy was going to give us a quick update.
In your agenda, there's the spill response plans for the Dalles and John Day and also for Bonneville. And this has been on the agenda for almost a year now. FPOM is supposed to review this, and if there's any concerns or questions, now is the time to ask.
Okay, for Bonneville, I just reviewed it. And I am concerned.
Okay.
And I don't see the corner collector in here at all.
It's not spill.
This is not spill water. This is spill oil. We're talking about.
Oh, semi
right.
No. I'm confused about.
But yeah, you talk. You Scott, go talk about spill and the definition thereof. Tammy, I don't see the corner collector here under juvenile fishways. And there's an item here under Powerhouse 1 ITS that talks about the DSM-2 SMF, which seems ought to be under PH-2 DSM. How's that for some acronym? This seems a little discombobulated.
I would agree. Hausman's on the phone. Ask him about it.
Ben, this seems a little discombobulated.
I won't pass the buck any further, although I should.
So, yeah, I would work on that, and I would like to see, this is the reason I brought this up, is that some of these actions are fairly severe and may not be warranted by the nature of the spill. And, you know, a sheen doesn't, especially for, like, the corner collector or the ice and trash looseway, may not warrant closing if it's just a little oil on the surface. If we got, you know, if you got a tanker in the river upstream and it's dumping kerosene or something, and yeah, but if we just have a little sheen, I would hate to shut down, I'd hate to open the ERG, and I would hate to shut down the ITS or the corner collector just for a little sheen, because I don't think there's much of an effect on juveniles.
Okay. I guess our concern is we get, we've got some guidance that says we should be stopping everything. We have other guidance saying we should be passing everything. So we're trying to figure that out as well as what those thresholds are, because identifying a sheen versus a tanker full depends on when you catch it, and it's not black and white, unfortunately.
I know. Can we work out some, I mean, right now, it is fairly black and white in here, though. I mean, any, just a little bit of oil gives you a sheen, and that says you open the RG.
And I don't want Scott out there with a can of Valvoline every so often dripping some shit.
Yeah, yeah. See, that could be misused.
There you go.
By certain parties.
Did you go to Vicksburg?
Olive oil would go a long ways in. Can we work? I think the adult fish way makes a lot of sense, and no problems there. It's just the juvenile.
Okay.
And I just don't think that a little oil in there matters much to juveniles. It's not like they're going to avoid it.
Okay.
There could be a toxic response. We've got to guard against that. And that would be more than a sheen. So, especially in the large volume ERG, or the large volume routes like the corner collector and the ITS. So,
okay. Thank you.
I'd like to talk about, you know, kind of the shades of gray on this.
Okay. Yeah, that's the part that we've kind of had issue with is we really do have some guidance saying that we should be, you know, the last stop for anything coming down river, and we have other guidance saying pass the stuff straight through.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with the pass the stuff straight through unless we have a huge amount, and even then you got, what are you going to do with it? So can we have a group look at this, or
you want a task
group discussion, or I don't know, I mean, can we resolve it here? I don't think so.
Do you want the environmental compliance coordinators on hand? Ben, do you think that would be helpful to have them there?
Yeah, because ours, Carlton Morris, has been around, and we've talked about this stuff, so he could give us kind of the, because he's in the middle as well. He's got sort of the fish side of things as well as the water quality side of things pulling in a different direction, so I think he'd like to be involved.
What I don't want to do is have a talk and then find out we can't go there because...
Okay. How about we all schedule a meeting after the next FPOM, following the FPOM meeting in July, July 9th?
July 9th is last year.
Yeah, let's do that. We can just hammer this out.
Okay. Is that just Bonneville, or would you like the Dallas and John Day included?
Well,
John Day is probably safe. It's going to be this way. That's probably the question.
Well, we're talking about basic requirements or just specific for the project?
Specific for how the project will address an oil spill or a hazardous material spill with the fish.
So it varies, what you're saying is it varies from project to project what the responsibilities are.
Well, because every fishway is different. So how you can respond to a spill is going to be different.
How you can respond to it. Okay, I thought the environmental guy was going to tell us what you had to do because of the laws. Maybe I misunderstood what you were saying. So.
Well, we have
just
not.
Just clarify it at the meeting.
Okay.
That's all.
I was.
So did you want it?
Let's have the discussion of all three projects. All the projects. I mean,
you want Walla Walla as well?
It's the same. Thoughts. I mean, to what point the really
two is good about
Grant? Because just a little sheen is out there most of the time.
Especially when you have rotting fish in the forebay. So, will you guys be ready for that after the next meeting?
Let's see a project.
Yeah.
Week before, we can set a reminder out.
And this is going to be a spill response. Task group,
and let's talk through the degrees of it. It's just the shades of gray that are in this that I'm worried about.
Well,
after the next step, I mean.
If you guys are using some shades of gray understanding within in-house, somebody may come to you and say, hey, there's a sheen out there, and you're saying, well, that's not enough. What's that?
He says, which one, Martin or
Tarnation?
Obviously, I need to step up my role here. All right.
Serious question. Serious.
You lost your
So is it possible to briefly explain what the ERG is and what it's supposed to do and why you're using it?
The ERG is the emergency release gate found in the downstream migration channel. So what it is it's on the downstream side of the channel, and if for some reason we cannot put fish and water through the two-mile pipe, we open that gate, and it puts all the fish right below the dam.
Okay, so it's just a bypass.
It's just dumps
just a shunting gate.
Just dumps it. It's an emergency gate. It just dumps all the bypass into the tail race.
Okay.
That's the old location. Yep. It's not a good location.
No. Where the old outlet was?
Or the outfall? It's actually upstream of the earth. So, we don't want to do that if we don't have to.
Okay.
It's kind of a lost resort.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. Agenda item 12. Bonneville High Stress Sluiceway closure last half of August. Ben, still on the phone?
I am.
All right. Floor is yours.
I think this is in your, I don't know if you have the entire tome that is the...
the War and Peace.
The current agenda, but it's in there at some point if you do, and it's really to replace the wire that spans the Powerhouse 1 4-bay.
Yeah.
They use that when they're clamming debris out. It's kind of a guide of sorts. A wire runs out to it from the clamshell. And it's just in need of replacement. I think they're talking about 2 to 3 hours, hoping for mid to late August.
Just not after August 31st.
Yeah, you've got my response, Ben, on that. I just don't run the powerhouse.
Okay.
And you shouldn't be, so shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
I think I told Sammy basically the same thing.
Got it.
Does everyone agree to that?
There shouldn't be any operation of that powerhouse at that time of the year, so this is really a non-question. If there was a lot of, if you were using the powerhouse because of some problem at powerhouse too, then it's not a good idea.
Okay. Yeah,
that one has
some
September.
It's just going to be until for September. So
just in case something weird happens, but other than that,
So I think that'll be a problem.
Okay.
Really.
Okay. Anyone that disagrees with that recommendation? Okay. We'll move on then. We're obviously in Portland District, since we're talking about walls again, we're putting walls in, and now agenda item 13, wall removal.
Walls are us.
So, Bonneville, I should trust this way, wall removal, early start date of 1 October. Is this you again, Ben?
It can be.
It is.
All right. We'll take you up.
It's really just a request to start the removal work that everyone I think is probably familiar with. It's been planned, been pushed off a little bit, but they want to start as early as October 1 and just want FPOM feedback.
I guess this is really a Don Erickson thing, but yeah.
We talk about February 2 to Thursday
again. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, and if, Matt Hansen would be probably the more appropriate one to talk about what this means to the contractor than I.
Yeah.
But he would be probably a good guy to invite to that to be able to explain, or Don for that matter.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be there. I know Don will be.
Okay.
Matt probably too.
So save this for Fitterwig?
Yeah, we've got our response on it, and my concern is for fallback adults, so... We get to the time of the year when if the powerhouse again wasn't operating, it wouldn't matter. But we're getting to that time of year when we could have a little bit of flow. We may be operating that first powerhouse a little bit. I think that is an issue. That's a concern.
Hey, Gary,
we should spill.
Do you have Matt's response on your agenda?
Yep.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if that's the latest.
Is there any guidance or opinion we can get from FPOM regarding, basically what they want is more time, obviously, outside of the winter work. Are there boundaries that folks would be okay with versus not?
No operation at first powerhouse during the outage.
I looked at some of the historic operation of powerhouse 1 during that time, and usually it's at the most one, maybe two units.
Yeah, it's usually pretty well down. Well, we can work on that. Yeah.
One of the concerns from Matt that he needed an answer because he'd like to get the contract out on Friday.
Well, we'll give him an answer on Thursday. That's no problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Thursday at
4:30.
Are there any units on the second warehouse being out now?
Yeah.
11 and 16 are out, so there may be more units operating at Warehouse 1.
16 should be back.
That's question.
We just pulled the STSs out of it. I don't think it's coming back anytime soon. But you can talk to the chief of ops about that. So, does FPOM want to wait until Fitterwig to have a further discussion on this with the
engineers? I need to get an idea of, like, if we don't give this, how does that impact the contract?
They figure it'll take 4 months to do the work. They'd like the nicer weather, and perhaps if they can give them more time, it might be a cheaper contract.
I'd like a larger salary, too, but that ain't going to happen in one time.
Well, you guys are probably more familiar with this before. Last year, when we thought we could do... Or maybe when this was first being developed, when we thought we could do the gates and the wall in the same year, how much time was required for that? And why does the wall removal take 4 months?
Yeah, no, that's part of the reason I was going to ask them, because I remember they thought they could get it with a slight extension, everything done. Yeah, but they've got the gates done now, so that's just wall removal, so that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like,
right.
This is too early. 1 October, you still have way too many.
I know. I was thinking.
Would you be all right with
even if it's
1 November?
Hmm?
1 November?
1 November, I could probably.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we're talking 1 October here. Right?
I know, but what date are you okay with?
Oh, that's okay. I mean, even mid October is probably okay.
Like last week, October.
Because it drops fast after October 1, but.
So, Tammy, you said it's going to take 4 months.
That's what they tell me.
And counting February, even though it's not a full month, this would be a five-month period.
Correct.
So they're anticipating downtime.
Holidays, bad weather, cold weather.
So that four-month estimate was if they had no downtime?
4 months of work.
Right. 4 months of work.
Okay, you just talked yourself out of October.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go with that.
Bob doesn't take those months off.
Never.
Jeez, yeah.
Unless you're snowing out.
So, we can talk about it more at Fitterwig, but I'd kind of like to give him at least a general heads up of what time frame
November
he should be looking
fine.
At.
November 1, I can live with that. And they're going to have to do a hard press to get much more than that.
But October 15th is your other fallback.
Yeah, so I'm hearing November 1 is everyone's preferred.
Yes.
If the need is there, October 15 may be doable.
Yeah.
But
they're not going to run many units. That's the perfect time to have this happen. If it's no units running in that powerhouse, that's probably the 2 week period that wouldn't happen.
Well, so, say that again, Scott. I didn't catch your.
You're concerned about having units running in powerhouse.
Yeah. Right? If there's no unit operation,
the lowest probability would probably be unless you get this huge rains. The 2 weeks in October. You're not going to start releasing for Chum. You're trying to store to get your water up in coolies still for Kokanee.
So what work would they do early, I guess, is kind of the question. Is there something that they can reverse, or are they get the wall half out?
It will take 2 weeks for the project to get the bulkheads in. So if we said 15 October, that would let the contractor get in by 1 November.
Is this a 24-hour that you don't want it run, or is it just at night you could run it in days you don't want it?
You can't run it because the bulkheads will be in.
Yeah.
No, not this, but the units. You don't want units run. Oh. Is you're concerned with drawing flow over there?
Pulling fish up.
Right.
Fish passage of Bradford Island, then it could be falling back.
But if you needed to move more water because your flows are higher, you could put a restriction on daytime operations are not allowed. It's nighttime only.
Cool.
So what problem? What happened? Okay, if they start 1 November, contractor can't get in there until 15 November. I mean, what's the downplay of doing that scenario on the other end? I mean, that's
not getting.
You know, that's the trade off.
Mm-hmm. Is you wouldn't get that tree slush way probably back as early.
You'd get it back 15 March.
Are they running the risk of? Are we risking something there? I mean, usually when we get the front end more time is that is that there's a risk to them not finishing or something like that. I don't hear a risk to not finishing.
Well, the other thing about it is
we want the holidays off.
Yeah. The other thing is that comes up and also Cal Pass.
I think Pat's going to be able to tell you the details.
Tomorrow. Okay, this is the primer for, or Thursday, this is the primer for Thursday.
Because if it's all just the money savings, how much money are they going to save?
Yeah, I'm not too concerned.
Yeah, we're not.
Yeah.
This, isn't a good
this is the stimulus thing, too, so...
So is this
okay? So I have
deferring this to Fitterwig. Is this going to work?
Quite possibly. I have that 1 October is not okay, and that more discussion will need to occur at Fitterwig. I'll let Matt know, and then he can plan accordingly.
I guess we need to see what the real
the reasons
are. If it's just it's going to be what we need to save a few bucks. I'm not sure. I'm that concerned about it. But. Versus fallback of adults in October, I don't. Or the lack or fallback of Celts.
You can specify that 1 November was okay.
Right. I mean, you can plan with one. If you want it different, then you need to coordinate for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're going with. November 1 is okay. If he wants earlier than that, it's going to take coordination at FPOM. Or, excuse me, at Fitterwig.
Good.
Okay. Moving on. Number 14, Bonneville Fish View Lights.
Ansel Stevenson.
I know. I was
saving up now. I can start, I guess. Just a quick refresher is Washington Counter said there was a lot of downstream activity at the count station, Washington Shore in particular, around October, November. And so the question was, could we turn on some the visitor center lights just above the count station, kind of drawn through and not have that up and down? I had John Dalen take a look at August, September, October, November, and December counts, both Washington Shore and Bradford Island. And in Washington are right. There is more down activity in the first hour and as you get into October, the first and second hour, which makes sense. So it's basically the dark to light conditions. Yeah. So we can certainly test that with a block design test. The question is when and potentially why.
Yeah.
We can do it at Washington Shore because we've got a straight shot from the count station to the first viewing window in the visitor center. I don't think you have that at Bradford Island. It's serpentines around before it gets to that point. So, and we see this in August. Like I said, August, September, October. Actually, in November, December, kind of diffuses a little bit, but you got a lot fewer fish. So we can do a test. We can see if that makes a difference.
But question: are they having trouble counting, or is it just inconvenient?
It could be that it's an activity issue, I guess.
Especially when they start doing the video monitoring, and you have a bunch of them back.
Yeah, but I mean, the fewer numbers. Yeah, I just wondered. That was happening when the full run was going on.
So the purpose is to assist the counters, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. If you're going to do what you're going to do,
it might help.
Yeah. I don't think it hurt anything. We could test it. I would recommend testing in October when we still have some number of fish.
Otherwise, it won't matter because there's nothing to help anyway.
So I can do like a 2 days on, 2 days off, block test.
Tune the light this way.
And then if it does make an issue, we can make part of the master plan or something to have those lights up. Okay.
Anyone disagree with that proposal to move forward with this in October?
Yeah, I don't see any negatives there.
Okay. And as far as getting this, we'll take the next step of seeing what we learn, and if we learn something that's helpful, we'll write something up in the fish passage plan. But we won't do that until.
Fish
yeah. Okay.
Perfect time.
Good. All right. The Dalles trash rat crane.
It's actually supposed to be John Day.
Oh, sorry.
Did it fall to the end yet?
And the trash rack crane is out of service, brake problems, it's going to be out for 12 weeks, 3 months.
Is it your wood surfer?
Don't tie it off to your railing.
Railing
again. Do you run out of guardrails up there?
The dam was too short.
The dam was too short.
The poor guy who parked.
Applied to extend the dam.
What was the length of that outing?
12 weeks.
How are you cleaning
the rakes? Which is a part they should have on hand, which they will have on hand.
You guys got real long rakes from the deck, and you're just.
Maybe that's where the confusion came from. They took the dowels has a mobile crane rake that they had for the PUD, and so they grabbed that and they're going to try that out, but they're not real hopeful with that. But they're going to give it a run this week.
Would there be any interest in doing more sampling in the high temperature period if we get into that this year, since the trash racks haven't been raked? Any interest or concern about that?
Depends on debris load, I guess.
Not typically the debris time of year.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of debris, maybe we can make a
statement. Yeah. We saw a lot of debris, that would take like some weird. You know, thunderstorm blow out of a canyon or a weird windstorm.
What about, I guess, already recently the Chinese Sioux County debris is looking like right now?
It's tailed off quite a bit. Yeah. We had a flush there a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
The latest gate will draw down didn't show any problems.
Yeah.
Working down on stuff.
And the ongoing sampling efforts. Even what they're at, with levels that they're at now should detect whatever issues are there. I would think so.
Yeah, things have been looking normal.
Yeah. Well, if we did see, you need to find out if you can do some tests, some cleaning with the other crane, and then if we saw that's the thing. Even if you did see a problem, you did.
Yeah, well, my measure is bad enough, but that's not likely. But.
We are going to be watching the gate with drawdowns, and then structural crew is trying to come up with a method they can use a mobile crane for limited purposes, for a unit or two.
Okay.
We cannot do it.
All the units, maybe all of them. Five or something like that. I guess the thing would be if you saw a problem.
So, Bob, since it's 12 weeks,
then you may want to.
Bob, you said there's a 12-week lead time on the part? Where the part's off the shelf and you just can't get the contract in place to fix it.
No, it's lead time on the part, from what I understand.
Yeah, $16,000 worth of parts are on order, and I recommended that they double that order so we can have spare.
Yeah.
And among those, that $16,000, there's one part which is critical, and it's 12 weeks out.
Well, Bob, is the brake component that's bad part of the raking system or just part of the propulsion system?
No, part of the rake.
It is part of the
rake. Yeah.
It has two winches, I think, and it's
the brake on the winch.
I thought it was the brake on the wheel.
Just keep going across the dam.
That's a different story.
That's a different brake. That's the other brake.
If there's a concern with the RLB, too. See what's there.
First few units, if we see a problem with debris in the forebay, if we know we have a canyon, you know, we have a side canyon blown out somewhere up there, and we have a thunderstorm right now, you'll know it. You'll know. You'll see crap down the river. We had that in the chute 2 years ago. There was stuff all over the place.
So update this in August, FFOM or something?
Yeah, we can update and
probably
monitor.
All right. Sounds good. Agenda item 16. I assume this is really the Dalles. Sluiceway?
Yeah.
Ops?
It is.
Okay.
John Day be a new one.
Yeah, well,
you put one of them?
What's
one? I distributed, I hope once you got it, had time to take a look at the preliminary P&L data that Fenton distributed for the test of the sluiceway passage in wintertime, November 1st through December 15th and March 1 through the beginning of spill. It was noticeable numbers and similar actually to our early predictions based on some of the RT stuff. And I wanted at least to bring it up that this, we're going to have Fenton come to the Fitterwig, but I know some of you may or may not be there. I'm just kind of making sure you guys take a look at it if you're interested. I think that's where we'll probably do most of it. If you want to defer it, it's understandable. But it's a good idea to get some, if there's any concerns and questions about it, started right now.
Well, what's the resolution here? We've got the data. I guess the first question is the second year needed?
Yeah. Yes.
And then the second, it's still a question. I mean, I thought it was pretty clear results. I don't know if the second year is needed.
Yeah.
And the second question is how do we change?
What kind of options do we do?
And assuming BPA will push back hard, we will need to get this thing elevated. And we're going to need the process to do that.
What could us see the study design? Do we need a 24/7 is the question. Or can we do it every other day or part of a day? That's the study design that we're
looking. That's the question from what I heard from you guys. The question I heard from you guys was, are these fish, would these fish fall back if it wasn't for this way? I think that...
There's also that question, but assuming that you're going to go forward with the test, what's the test going to look like?
Test or operation.
Well, we're not done testing yet.
Maybe we are.
You might want to recommend that, but I don't think we're done there.
I don't think that that's a bad recommendation.
Just to let you know, right, and I was kind of playing with the health studies is pretty low and rated at the moment. So, you know, if this gets elevated to be in the second year, we're going to have to fight for the money.
Well, I mean, it's both ways. You're putting $1 million a month into some operation that you want to immortalize forever.
I
mean, and
that's what I figured it would get elevated. I mean, we put a pretty high rating, not the SRWG, but SCT is discussing it. So
yeah,
remember
well,
that.
We need to look at the data we have. There needs to be a discussion of that and the path forward. It looked like a pretty clean study, so that we need to have a discussion on that, some recommendations. And if people are going to line up in the familiar sides of the issue, then we'll have a discussion about that.
Well,
the Dixon stuff
is going to line up that way, so we need to proceed.
Mr. Clarkson, you said you sent this data out?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I distributed it to the whole S-bond group.
Yeah,
it was emailed on the
several weeks ago, and you put it on.
There was a delightful discussion between Tammy and Clarkson about four in a row from them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was part of
the 18th of June is when I emailed it.
Just look for the one that was like Clarkson, Tammy, Clarkson, Tammy, Clarkson.
I sent it out originally as a separate one, I think. Was that on that? Yeah,
when
separate
that?
One like two and a half weeks ago.
18th.
18th.
Yeah, I sent it again. The first one was like the fifth.
He sent it out a long time ago. It didn't get on the agenda. I resent it to all of FPOM on
the
18th.
It's the same thing, though, right? Same
yes.
Piece of information.
It's just
the
PNL
preliminary
stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was one of those 4 or 5
or 10
FPOM handouts, I think, might have been the title.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Take a look at it. Everybody is concerned, and make sure you go through that. It's pretty thorough for a 5-page summary. So you can grill him about methods.
What would have been the cutoff to say it's not worth it? Was there an idea for a target number?
How many are important enough to save?
Yeah.
What's the threshold?
Yeah.
Well, you know, none of them are important enough to save for some people, and any of them for some people.
So going into it, we never really had a number.
No. You're not going to get a number.
It's
it was more just curious.
I would agree on
that. If you found like five fish, that's a different thing. You find 1,800,
yeah, it's 1,800.
A couple thousand dollar fallback. Part of it's a pattern, too, of wind. That's kind of informative. It's different than people might have expected. Mm-hmm. And the die yield.
And it's also what the effects are of the predation below Bonneville. Are you delivering them quicker or not? That was the other. Do we want to get
and the issue is probably different spring versus fall.
Uh-huh.
Because kelps are trying to get out.
Yeah.
And trying to pass them. So that may be a totally different
it
kind
is.
Of answer.
It is. And turbine survival is an issue and all that stuff.
Right.
And we talked about it ad nauseum last year or just last year on corn planter.
Oh, let's do it again.
It's going to be the same arguments. You're going to hear them all over again.
Well, we're not worried about pipette.
No. But there is a juvenile issue component here, too. And he did touch on that. And I think that's important.
Yeah, some schooling fall, you know, overwintering groups probably hanging out. but if we're not opening the corner collector, we may never get past it.
Right, but do you want to move down that time anyway?
Good point.
Anyway.
At least we have a bypass.
We'll take a look at it. Digest it, get ready for questions, and we'll take what time we need and can get on Thursday to start this out. But I think the big question first would be how much do you think we need another year or not? Bring that up at SCT if that comes up.
So we're going to review this Thursday. Is that what you're saying to you? We're going to review this Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Big thanks.
Okay. Moving on, there are three change forms for Fish Passage Plan 2010, one for Ice Harbor, two for John Day. Can we get a...
Well, the Ice Harbor one has some modifications to it that I just happened to pass to Greg, and I don't know if he's ready to distribute it to the group or not. What it's trying to describe is the unit priorities during a specific condition when only one unit can run. That's the kind of hold up on that particular issue.
I guess we'll just hold this one till next month.
Mm-hmm. It should be done by the 7th.
Okay.
Next meeting, I should say.
Yeah, Ice Harbor will be on the table for next meeting.
I'll broadcast it out to the group.
When we get it, make sure everyone's on the same page. We'll email it out so that we can hopefully approve at next AFPOM. So, two for John Day still on the table.
Actually, the Dalles.
I'm sorry, the Dalles. I'm so used to this TDA meaning John Day.
Somebody's going to be doing their own agenda.
Somebody's
going to
get agenda.
That was my fault. The Dalles. Thanks.
Operations requested another change to that, the unit blocks that we had, because what we have now, it splits lines, and they would prefer to keep it within a line, and so they offered another proposal for the blocks. So this is like the fourth one now. So hopefully...
Discussion on any of these. These are just placeholders, because I know these are coming.
Yeah,
I
recently
glanced at it.
It did major changes to me, but I've not had a chance to answer it. So long.
I'm looking on the
So summer caps and summer lower caps.
They
went to the trouble of doing it. I thought they didn't know.
Oh, yes, little s. Block 134.
After Susan's kid
made it, or whatever. Yeah, I think you're going. You really mean 13 through 16.
The strikeout on the 4 is right on the cross line of the 4, so you're...
One strikeout.
Good job.
Up here?
Yeah. So whenever I'm striking out a 4, it's going to look like it's... Same with the 9.
Okay.
I don't see any problems. Yeah. I think you're probably okay with that. Right. Looking at there, the next one was 13 for Shad.
So for the Dalles 001.
Are we all right with this?
Are we okay with this change form as is?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
All
right. Greg?
So we'll let the project know.
Blink your eyes twice.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'll defer to these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. 1.2%.
Dave, you're okay with 001?
Well, I'm relying on...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Okay.
I'll concur with the more knowledgeable staff out that end of the table.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because we found when we switched it, we get this huge...
Unanimous support. Dials 001.
All right. Yeah. Sounds like the next one, too.
And same thing for Dials 002.
Yeah.
And John Day 01.
And John Day 001. Okay.
Okay.
Rick, Dave?
So basically, you're shifting your counts. And you're looking at
yeah, instead of waiting for 5,000 to show up, add the Dials. Before we switch to 1-3, we just watch Bonneville. Bonneville is 5,000, and we'll switch to 1-3.
Because otherwise you guys will be tripping the day later, probably.
You yeah. keep an eye on see when if it still spikes up. That means we need to lower that
threshold.
Yeah.
Threshold.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think there's any problem with the 1.3. Seems to look fine for adults.
No, it's a question of when you go to 1.3.
I know. Yeah. But I mean, there's no downside of doing it earlier. Right. A little bit earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
So I agree on that one too.
Okay.
We. Washington downstream.
And then you may want to be more stringent.
And that's, we've been trying to figure out a way to not do that as much as possible for Lamprey after Washington downstream. That's until we modify that entrance in particular. You have to have that thing up considerably higher to get the south end to this 1.3. It's usually, what, 1.5, 6, sometimes 7.
Oh, well, this is just over the weirs.
Yeah, but it tends to, I know, whatever the operation does, that tends to make that entrance velocity considerably higher.
The head differential should stay the same at the entrances. We just do the differential over the weirs.
I don't know, but it's always, whatever causes it, it's almost always considerably higher velocity than the, and I don't know whether the alarms are set different or whatever, but for whatever reason, it seems like there's always higher velocity coming out of that Washington side than it is out of the south side, Arsington North versus Bonneville. I mean, you're talking about, you know, you go up there, it's often 4 feet per second faster. Is Ben, you still on there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You know what I'm talking about, right? As far as the velocities coming out of the north entrance at Bonneville 2 being quite a bit higher than they are at the south? During Shad?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's nothing more than observational. I haven't seen it measured, but yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
I mean, and that would correspond with a lot bigger problems with entrances there, too, for Lamprey.
And would agree.
And the difference in when we did the nighttime reduction test as far as that.
But just, there's a lot of reasons that might be. There's that dedicated channel.
Well, let me tell you, if you have a difference of 4 foot per second, you've got to go from 1 foot to 1.5 foot.
Well, I remember, what were the alarms set at there? I mean, what's your head? I mean, you often had head over 1.5, didn't you, at the north?
Well, we try to keep it at 1.5, 1 to 2. So,
right.
Yeah. And we try. I like 18 inches, 1.5
foot. Yeah. I'm thinking it was often higher than that.
It definitely can be on the north.
See,
the north upstream, yeah, it's supposed to be 2.2, or 1.7 to 2.2 right in there because there's, you're looking at that staff gauge at the junction pool.
Right.
And that's supposed to equate to whatever the normal head is at the entrance. But the downstream one is normally within 1.5 to 2.
Well, maybe we should do some real testing of velocity, but everybody that's, and I thought U of I did, I'd check into that, but.
Well, does it have anything to do with the outlets that are right down there below that entrance from the AFF, the ERG?
Could be.
AWS.
But it's usually they approach and they can't get in. So. They're pretty close. Anyway, yeah, it's something to think about for Lamprey realities, and getting increasing velocities there is always going to be more problematic.
Yeah,
sure.
It's only in the daytime, too. Aren't we going to...
Well,
we turn off the AWS systems at night?
For the test we did for the method we tried there, and Ben, could we do it like they're doing them at Mary? Did you ever test that as far as lowering the gate?
Yeah, except when your tailwater's real low, you could.
I don't believe we tested that, no.
Is that, how easy would that be to operate?
What exactly do you want to do there?
Well, it'd be like what they're doing up there. They're basically, instead of reducing the flow coming out, I mean, the volume coming out, they drop the gate, so that it just reduces velocity without reducing the volume.
It would help to have automated system.
Yeah. Okay. Right now we don't, so it probably can't be done unless you want somebody to go out there and drop it every evening.
People be chasing their tails on that.
So, we go ahead and approve these change forms as?
I already have that they're approved.
So we're good on those.
Yep.
We'll investigate.
First, we want you to check it on the land bridge stuff, but I'm okay for right now and see if we can go up the way down.
I mean, the idea is we need to modify that entrance.
Okay, so we're okay with unanimous approval of those, and Tom will let us know if any issues come to your attention.
Well, that's more just like, I mean, land bridge is always going to be a concern for us, and if there's a way to mitigate or any potential impacts on land bridge, we should investigate that.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no problem with that.
Get the work on that.
We need shadow magic.
No, I tried to get that in.
We just have one password, really.
Yeah. Okay. Agenda 18 is just a heads up that there's change forms that are yet to be written that you'll see later. There's nothing there.
Nothing to talk about?
Nothing to talk about. And Ice Harbor will be on next meeting, next FOM. Task group update? Any update on pinnipeds?
Not really. We had a kind of a post-season meeting last week. How things went, what's going to happen next year. Probably the biggest thing we were thinking about was putting some kind of items on the corner collector concrete apron along there so they don't haul out, get them more likely to get on the traps. But it got stuck into, well, let's get a PD team together and we're going to have to budget for it, and that won't happen until 2012. So long story short, probably nothing's going to happen.
Chris
comes. Yeah, exactly.
I've got enough to tip.
Large amounts of lard.
Lard and lard, that's fun. And we do have one animal still probably up in the forebay. We've seen up still in the Dalles early last week. Haven't heard
of the Dalles.
Thing since.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't shot that.
Well, that's.
He's probably those 10,000 fish in a little jerk.
It does have an acoustic tag, so we'll know.
He is a cryptic sea lion.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank you for that entertainment.
I'll bring some back.
Greg just mentioned he has an update on Little Goose outfall.
We've got the, of course, the outfall in progress, but the material that's going to be used for it is aluminized steel, since we're not using stainless. Or, I mean, not using galvanized steel, since we had such a comment about it last year. We said, we've got to use something different, so we're using aluminized steel coating on it.
Plus it got aluminum coating?
Yeah.
It's a new paint.
So, but the thing is still the same, huh?
How durable is that?
Well, it looks the same thing. It's going to supposedly, by the time the expectancy is about the same amount of time for it, too. And in fact, that is exactly what the flume up high is made of. So, we're going to go ahead with that. Now, the only problem is that they come in sheets. The sheets are about like so big in size. They have to form it.
Yeah,
and they have to make it that way. Now, where the two points come together, since it's going to be enclosed pipe, the lower end, Little Goose outfall, it's going to be enclosed. It's going to be welded together, which can be done, but before they weld it together 100%, they'll smoothen off the angle there so there'll be no rough ends, and they're putting this super-duper, highly tactile epoxy coating on it. It's probably close to about a 4 inch.
Over the seam?
Yeah, over the seam. And it smooths it.
The welding will take off any aluminum.
This is.
It would be nice if we could bring a sample in.
I have a sample in the truck right now.
We talk about the inside.
I do.
The whole pipe.
It's so big. But it smooths it out. It smooths it out entirely. I mean, it's like a self-leveling sealer, too. So it's really a nice little smooth seal right there.
And that makes a big enough pipe?
Huh?
That makes a big enough pipe?
Well, it's going to be 3 foot diameter.
And that seam's going to be on the top of the pipe anyway, right?
It probably would have to be there.
Somewhere above the water.
Yeah, it'd probably be above the water, but it's going to be rotated, you know, for functional stability.
So the pipes welded together, both sections?
I would probably think it is welded together.
How much of a...
But that lap, you know, is going to be on the downstream side.
Why do they rotate it?
What's the rotation?
Like bricks?
Yeah, like bricks.
So you don't have the seams on the thing.
Exactly.
Offset.
So it's not a straight seam.
Yeah, you can adjust it.
I think they get all the way.
Still doing it above water.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
In a herringbone.
So how long a run is this going to be? I don't know.
How long the run?
Yeah.
Out the middle of the river.
from that point where it's...
About from the point where it starts flattening out, right past the transition of where we load the barge.
Okay.
From there on down.
It's a long stretch.
Yep. Yeah. It's a long stretch.
You can drill holes in it, put eye bolts, you know, attach the line.
Put the mixed light on top.
And I have another when you get to it.
Okay, we are wrapping up, so Dave?
Go ahead. I'm not looking for a resolution today, but I'd like to follow it up at the next meeting, give you guys a chance to think about it. I've kind of talked to Greg about this in part, but there's been a lot of, and I've gotten some notices from Dave Clugston and others about old trout being seen in the ladders here, and here we've had three at Bonneville and one at McMurray and back and forth. What I'd like to consider, have considered, is I'm trying to find, and because I couldn't go on a website and find, so I called Greg, and he had the miscellaneous file updated for 2008. It wasn't on there yet. But I assume the information has to be somewhere. We could see adults going up the ladder through a visual count or video, or we could get pit tag detections in the adult ladders. Post-season, that stuff's available. I'm wondering about in-season, if that's possible to have.
Pit tag data?
No, just visual. Bull trout cast.
Oh, visual.
You know.
And this is something I brought to Robert's attention also.
Okay.
And
it's possible. The thing is with the database that we have right now, it's always been this issue of we've already got too many columns. So, you know, we used to have mini-jacks, and that was a hassle.
But maybe even a different website or a link?
Well, that's what we're thinking is a possibility. Right now, John Dalen sends, I can't remember the name of the guy, but somebody up in Snake River, he's looking for clip, non-clip stuff. And so I think once a month, he just kind of sends him this miscellaneous fish, because they are put down on remarks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I could probably assign John once a month to summarize that for you.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm not looking for an answer today, but if you guys could think about that, we can talk about it more maybe at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly.
If you look at the 2000 buy-up, the Corps supposedly was going to provide a report annually about the bull trout passage. Well, yeah. And, yeah. I know.
What frequency, Dave?
Pardon?
How
does monthly work? Well, I guess it depends on what's good for them. I mean,
does monthly work for you?
Yearly works good for them.
Ideally, daily.
Yearly would work,
but it's probably not necessary for daily. So if you can get at least monthly, that would be.
Yeah, we'll talk about what's realistic.
That's all. Yeah.
We have this as an action item then for next.
Sure.
And the other half of that is the juvenile detections. We can get the pit detections for the juveniles that go through the system now. Those are automatically uploaded through the tag. The ones that seem to be a little infrequent, although Dave's trying hard and Greg, are fish that are seen on the separator or in the sample facilities or maybe in the holding raceways that they get seen or fished out as mortalities. Is there some consistent way for each of the projects to...
Adults?
No, these are juvenile fish, and they're reported. They're reported in a different process through the juvenile fish transportation summaries.
Well, maybe I'm not looking in the right place, and I'm looking to see if there's a real time update at some frequency for that information.
Would that be in this multi-year weekly reports?
Yeah, the weekly reports that have that could be a good place
for each project.
Yeah, for each project, because
place to have one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, how many bull trout are you putting out with pit tags there?
Oh, the number, I can't tell you right now, but the ones they've been seeing in the raceways, in the ladders, appear to be untagged.
Right.
Because we're not getting any corresponding hits in the ladder. So
the ones in the separators that reported
I'm trying to see if we can coordinate this, and in part Doug asked me where the Corps sends an annual report. And so we're trying to work on that in a sense, but also I'm just trying to figure out if during this in-season somebody has a question where they can go to get the information. Because I know where to get it post-season. Mm-hmm. But in-season, I'm kind of looking for something.
Okay. That's... If you're not on their mailing list, you can get it.
Well, I am.
Yeah. That's one, but it's not monitoring because that comes out weekly.
Right. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Summarize for that week. Is that good enough?
Well, maybe I'll talk to you a little bit offline about this a little more, get the details.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But in the meantime, we'll capture this for an action item next F-bomb. Okay. So, about done. July 9 here. Is this room available?
Bill's gone.
Can we plan on July 9 back here?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yep. And last thing, AFF collection update. There's a AFF, Bonneville AFF meeting on 25 June. So.
Okay. That question on that. What is there an agenda out?
Vern has not yet put the agenda out. I suspect he'll put it out tomorrow when he's back in the office.
Okay. You might
think about
contacting our guys
to
see if they have any concerns.
Right. I'm not going to be here July 9th. Family's on vacation.
Okay.
That week.
Not very useful unless perfect.
He sent a request to, I think, Rock and to the guy who was representing Kritzik last time. Rob? What was his name? Yeah, him. For agenda updates.
Good, that's not me then.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that you...
Would you prefer to have an action item in for August?
With, one, any issues they have, and two,
I'd like to.
They need to come with a, some suggestions on
but
how to
reduce
the facility, because that was something that we threw on the table that they would do in the meeting last year.
Thanks, Scott. Okay.
I know you agree with
me. Just saying.
Okay.
That's what you guys added in, that middle town.
I'll send you the edited version.
Yeah, okay, and I'll send it out. Send out
to Scott. I guess part of the discussion.
I'll refine it to the people around.
Yeah.
Do you have...
Okay, Mike, thanks.
Gary, do you have any agenda items you'd like included?
Sorry.
Do you have any agenda items you would like included? Send those to Vern, and if you could CC me so that I can make sure he gets them. Or tell me them right now. I'll type them in.
We don't know where to, part of it is we don't know where to send them.
Okay, I think those are pretty much on the agenda.
I'm sure the right person is getting
it. Yeah, it's out there, it's just not consolidated.
It's easier if you say it. I got it.